Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with
Satish Ram, who thinks, that Austin guy sounds really angry. I think he needs to believe more.
Oh, believing. Believing is such a fad.
A fad?
I love believing. I'm a believer.
A fad?
I'm a believer.
My life? You're calling it a fad? All my achievements that I've achieved today by believing? You're saying I got them through a fad?
I feel like I feel like we should be doing, just because we basically, for all of our raw podcasts, we've gotten at least one caller. We should just call ourselves, we're 20-0. We're 20-0, and just kind of, as I'm you know, calling in right now to speak to everyone, I should just do a victory lap the entire time.
I'd actually like to do a podcast where we just continuously play Bo's theme song in the background.
But very low.
And if people can hear it.
And then when some don't, we just tell them that they can hear it if they believe. They
believe.
Just don't stop believing.
I mean, in fact, I could put it on right now, and if you really believe, you can hear it.
You should, and we should.
You
tonight,
believe, man?
It's Bo's time tonight.
Because I can hear it.
I can as well.
Good.
So anyway, while we did our rumor mill on Sunday,
we did.
You know, I would like to mention something that actually we didn't cover, although I don't believe it even came out until a couple hours later. Apparently, the coffee situation, you know, not on this Monday, the Monday previously, apparently rumors suggest that was stemmed upon someone from the McMahon family having a real-life issue with coffee.
I thought you were going to mention that Fernando was hurt.
That's another thing I wanted to get to, but I wanted to get the thing that, only because that's just, why, you know, what are we doing here?
Are you
here?
Surprised at this point?
It's weird that I am. I really shouldn't be, yet for some reason I am.
I mean, for those of you out there listening, tonight we are doing a combined little Monday Night Raw and Main Event podcast. Due to some personal reasons, we couldn't do the podcast last night, so we're doing it tonight. You know, for all two of you that are listening now, thank you. But
hey, we might have a third, but I agree. So that would be nice. But so it's just, I don't know why I'm surprised, but I only brought it up simply because it's just, we did our rumor mill episode, but, you know, new rumors are coming out on a daily basis, and this is just one of those that makes you think, really? If only because of everything that surrounded it, it's upsetting to know that that was, because what we heard that that happened on the day itself, earlier in the day, which means that that was a very last-minute type of, you know, story. And for a last-minute story like that to possibly hurt Roman Reigns' face, personality, that's upsetting. But hey, let's move on to something that was partially good. The Vicky Guerrero being let go. And I say partially because obviously with everything in WWE, there's decent things coupled with bad things.
Yeah, they did it half right. And
exactly. Literally half.
Yeah, so when it comes to this opening segment part thing, I didn't exactly like the wording of everything, you know, because you can't grammatically say, he taught me one thing and then list three. But
yes,
there are certain ways that you can use the death of a real-life death of a character in a wrestler, and it doesn't feel bad. And this was one of those, and people make the joke, instead of exploitation, Eddie-sploitation, but this was one of those Eddie-sploitation moments that actually made sense. Because
yes.
We all knew that Vicky was on her way out, or at least the internet fans knew that she was on her way out, because they've mentioned around WrestleMania there was talks about her running down to the end of her contract and, saying she was going to leave. So
right.
When this came about and they're like, okay, I figure they're going to lead to some kind of firing, it was just a matter of how long she wanted to go, maybe towards the end of her contract. It is near July, so this makes sense. So with this going on, I'm like, all right, Civica's going to be fired, so let's not make this shitty. And when she starts talking about the Guerrero name and brings up strength again, and it made me really happy. You know, I admitted to Maddie. I mean, it was kind of a tear in my eye moment. And,
oh, yeah, Maddie being our fact checker. And of course, I felt the same way. You know, when she – the only thing I that was an issue. I don't know if you felt the same way. They needed her to be even angrier because I feel as if, you know, with the way last week was, that's why I feel upset that last week seemed to have been kind of sprung up out of nowhere in a way, where last week she had this passion, she had this anger, and I'm not saying that she didn't bring it this week, but the fact that she still cared about her job, you know, really kind of, you know, got me a little –
I mean, I agree because I wouldn't have complained. I thought I would have been happier if in the beginning, you know, she showed a little like, you know, fuck you, Stephanie, kind of attitude.
That's all.
But, I mean, this is someone who in heel character is that type of person. Like, may I say you're looking beautiful today because I just fucked up kind of thing? You know, so it,
yes,
it worked.
Yes,
and then when her job, because it always worked for her to keep her job that way.
Right, but it's the thing is, it seemed as if, and this is only taking, you know, last week into account and then seeing how it, in my opinion, should have came into this week, it seemed as if she let Roman Reigns in, not because, damn, that was, no, because, wait a minute, that's right, like you said, fuck these people, screw these people, why do I want to work with them?
The
and
logical
that's why,
continuity is a failure. Like,
yeah,
she should have been more angry. You're right.
I'm happy that she had a face turn, mind you, because that was, that, in my opinion, that's how you should do a face turn. You know, that
yeah,
was, it was very well done.
It took that mention, and not saying that, you know, it shouldn't have or something, but it
right.
took that mention to turn what may have been the most heel-hated catchphrase over the last few years in terms of
yes.
garnering booze to
yes.
something that got cheers within seconds. And I really appreciated the way they handled that, and I didn't
yeah.
know if I would. So I mentioned when that scene was ending, I actually said word for word to Maddie, if she comes out later to Eddie's theme, I am going to cry like a bitch.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I wanted that to happen so bad. And I wanted a wrestling match, mind you. So that's when we get to the bad part later on. You know, I wanted a wrestling
match because
Stephanie McMahon was a competitor.
Yes.
So,
I mean, in no way are we saying that she was the best competitor, but she was a competitor.
No. She was
no.
a competitor. And even
yeah.
if she came out there with 14 bodyguards, it would have been a match. You
yes,
know?
Exactly.
So that's another thing we'll get to. But I mean,
and
I'm
I will,
sure you feel
and,
the same
and
way.
Also, I will say this though: if there wasn't going to be a match, I would have been happier though because we have a lot of people on the card. You know, we have, not even on the card. I'm sorry, we have a lot of people on the roster. But because there was a segment, you know, because something was thrown in there, I thought, well, hey, it's going to be a match, and it's not our WrestleMania, so I'm going to suck it up.
Yeah,
that's basically,
no,
that's
I mean,
how
I thought I was really into that. And I knew that they were eventually leading up to Stephanie doing some kind of match, whether it be with what I thought would have been Brie Bella.
Right.
Right. Or Vicky. And, you know, Vicky can't really work anymore, but she could for the sake of this segment. And
yes.
I guess it just kind of irked me because even though Vicky got her, and I guess we might as well just talk about the subsequent quote-unquote match now, since we're on the
might
topic.
Might as well.
And since Vicky got her moment of comeuppance by pushing her into that crap, the fact that
quite
there
literally.
Was a bucket of crap match is, I guess, indicative of what they feel about women's place in this show. And that's what bothers me still. Like, you would never, ever have Paul Heyman, and I say Paul Heyman because I wanted to pick a manager, not a competitor, a manager.
Right.
You wouldn't have Paul Heyman, you wouldn't have Theodore Long, and Theodore Long specifically because he played a very similar role to Vicky these last few years.
Right.
Lose his job and then get pushed into a bucket of slop match. You would never have that happen. And no, the males and females do not play the same roles, but in ways they are equal. You know, they are equal. They
of
should
course,
be
of course.
Equal.
They should be equal. No, I admit that completely. And, you know, and I feel as if it's just, like you said, there's that, and it's also the fact that, you know, it's a... In a way, they threw that stuff out there about Eddie, and she did get her comeuppance in a way because, you know, as you said, she threw Stephanie in there, but she was also thrown in herself. So in a way, what kind of victory is that? Especially when you were fired under her terms, Stephanie's, not your terms, which is why I mentioned that. I would have rather had her in the beginning, you know, after all the Eddie stuff, say, he, you know, Eddie taught me, you know, this, this, and this. But also, you know what I've learned? This, you know, that if, you know, that I'm going to escape your reign of tyranny, et cetera, you know, there are many other places I can be. The Guerrero name is so huge that it doesn't need to just be in the WWE. Goodbye. You know, I'm quitting, excuse me, and then walk away. And that would have saved us from that, and it still would have gotten her cheers, especially if she would have said, you know, and played this music, you know, and then they would have played her out to Eddie's music or something. You know,
I agree with the concept of her quitting, by the way.
Right, right.
Because it makes her look logical, strong on the way out. So it just kind of irks me that they didn't. I guess they have this thing where they want to make people look a little bit weaker on the way out, which I guess isn't the worst thing in the world, to be honest with you.
It's obvious. Here's the thing. It's obvious that people should go out on their back. However, mm-hmm. it's upsetting that they couldn't have just fired her this week then. Instead, trying to say, oh, we're going to give her, you know, a face turn. We're going to make her look good, but not too good. Because then, like we said, it looks like it's half-assing. It looks like it's just half good and half bad. Where really, go one way or the other. She would have just been fired and then pushed aside the same way, let's say, someone like Damian Sandow was triple powerbombed where he, being a heel, who is still a heel, was triple powerbombed for basically no good reason. Something like that, where it's just, that's fine in a way. Where if that was Damian Sandow saying, you know, I'm actually quitting in real life, we would have went, oh, that's obvious. He's not going to take down the Shield here. So why would Vicky get any chance to hurt Stephanie? That's the thing. I'm not saying Stephanie didn't deserve it, because she did. But in mm-hmm. no way did Vicky deserve it either. So it became very complicated and kind of convoluted in a weird way, where it's just like, she got revenge. Not really. She was fired. She didn't quit. She was fired. And she's leaving with the crowd cheering. She'll never appear on TV again.
And by the way, on this topic, there's something that I thought I had that I wanted to mention. I mean, we saw that Alicia Fox, Layla, and Rosa Mendez came out to do Stephanie's bidding. And, you know, Layla being involved in her own storyline herself, but there's a part of me that wants or wishes we had some kind of consistency with this, where it's like...
Thank you.
There's like a moment on Raw, right? I mean this like in an actual storyline sense, by the way. Like, let's say next week on Raw, that's a mm-hmm. thing where you know the three of them as like Stephanie's girls. Do you get
what
I mean?
Yeah, I know. That's actually a huge problem.
She could actually call on them, because that's cool, because then you've got these tough heel divas going on. The divas have this alternate side storyline.
You know who I would have wanted? And I know this is, you're probably going to yell at me. Take out Layla, take out Alicia Fox, and throw in Eva Marie and JoJo, for the simple fact that
in current storylines.
That's the thing. They're not in current storylines. They're literally doing nothing. Because the thing is, it's not even in storylines. They aren't even on TV right now, which means just please to God, give them something to do.
JoJo's still employed, by the way?
Hmm?
JoJo's still employed? I'm not...
It's really funny because I knew you were going to say that. Please, Maddie, if you could, check if JoJo's still employed. I still believe that she is, but
she's a little bit occupied right now, but she'll probably be able to get that answer to us later on. So
I'm pretty sure she's in developmental hell, like, and even in wrestling hell, because from what I've seen from Total Divas Season 1, she seems to be in, you know, and the fact that she isn't on Season 2 and she isn't on Season 3, there's a problem. You know, she's in some kind of limbo right now. For something.
Well,
maybe it's because she's not with Randy Orton anymore. She's got pushed down the card.
That's actually probably it. I hate to say it. That being said, I guess, you know, thank you, Vicky, on a serious note, for
all your contributions.
I mean, you've basically done whatever the hell they've wanted you to do over these last few years.
And she's done a good job at it, honestly.
Yeah, no, and I mean, you do come from a very respected wrestling family. I mean, the Guerreros are legendary, and...
And hopefully we see it's Eddie's daughter, right, who's currently training.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that she comes up, because I don't want to see the last of the Guerreros. I mean, I loved Eddie growing up. I really loved Eddie. You know, and there's always a part of me that thinks, like, oh, Vicky, that's Eddie's, you know. So I just want to think back of the Guerreros as much as I can. I want to think about Eddie as much as I can. So any excuse will be great.
I think if, you know, they really do some work on themselves, you know, in how they treat the divas, or, you know, the women in the division, we can have a very nice roster of children who you know, have been made, obviously, from these alumni, because we have them in males. We've had them in males forever, obviously, but something in my head, you know, for some reason, I don't think there's been that many women who have been the sons, you know, the daughters, rather, of, well, I was going to say sons, the daughters of, you know, wrestlers, and I think it's going to be great to think
about
that. Think about that. No, but
this
think about
gonna
that.
This is going to kill you. JoJo's still employed in NXT,
right,
but just not being used.
That's... She survived the cuts this time. Next year, probably not. But she survived the cuts this time.
You know what we need, Matt? An NXT brand split.
Yeah, clearly. But seriously, though, so think about it. Think about the people that we have right now, right? Just really think about the females, right? We have Charlotte. We have Tamina. We technically have Paige. I mean, she, you know, her mother wasn't really in the WWE, I believe, or at least if
yeah.
she was, not for her. But we still have Paige, you know, who is experienced because of that. So that's three right there. We have Tamina, Charlotte, Paige. We have, you know, Eddie's daughter coming up. And it's just, and also we have Natalia. It's very interesting, I think. Because it seems as if they're, and what's even, you know, better is that when you look at someone like Natalia, she was actually, it's not as if she was just given the golden ticket. So some of these people are really, I mean, even Paige, you can argue that she's been wrestling since she was 14. So there's no golden ticket. She's just very, very talented. And she's trained. You know, if we were training to be professional wrestlers ever since we were 14, there's a chance, you know. I mean, just to have that behind us. We should be seeing some great television for the women if WWE is able to kind of deliver. I feel sad.
There are potential stories. I mean, I don't think anyone would disagree with the whole, like, having, like, a Steph's Girls kind of thing angle would work.
Not at all.
I don't think that anyone saying that we need more, like, story time in the Divas division is going to be shot down. It's just a matter
right.
of, like, Kevin Dunn.
Yeah, it really does.
Also,
Eddie's daughter
left WWE, so I hate everything.
Eddie's daughter left, but I thought she was given a second chance and was currently training again.
I think she left again. I think I remember hearing about this now. She may have been cut, came back, and then left or something of that nature?
Well, I mean, she's a Guerrero. She'll probably be given a third shot, and, I mean, hopefully she's good enough to deserve it. At the very, even at the end of the day, she can still be a valet, I'm sure.
No, but I mean, I guess at the end of the day, then, I mean, that marks a bit more of a. Vicky's leaving is a bit more significant in that way because that may be the last
yeah.
Vicky of this Guerrero line for a bit. And, yeah, they did release her in April.
That's extremely upsetting.
That's what I thought, unfortunately. Because I remember hearing about that with the NXT cuts.
I thought I did too, but I thought that was I thought that was her first time around for some reason. But hopefully she'll be able to come back on it some way or another. I hope that JoJo actually finds her niche or something because I want JoJo to just train and to do really well and to come back and to be able to say that JoJo had a very bizarre adventure.
Oh,
in her way to the top. In her way to the top. Listen, all right, that joke came to me today as I was typing up my notes, so you can shut your hole. All right, that's funny. All right. Although I don't think it's actually really funny because I'm referring to her, a female, and her quote unquote bizarre adventure compared to the testosterone filled anime manga of the 70s, the recently turned anime. So that's really funny to juxtapose. You can shut up. So moving back to the beginning, let's jump back all the way to the beginning. Also I would like to have there's a caller who's currently called in. I think we should put him through, or her. Hello?
It's the woman, bam, baby.
Big E?
JoJo?
I don't know who's... JoJo? Yeah, JoJo? Is that you, JoJo?
No. I tried to
what
do
are...
these bits. Okay,
I know, I know. We know what you tried to do. Come on.
I know.
You don't... He said it. You said his catchphrase. It's like, who was he? I don't... Was he Abraham Lincoln?
Guys, I was Heath Slater. How could you not get that? I love you for that, though. Just dedication to the gimmick. The Daniel gimmick. Not the Heath Slater gimmick. The Daniel gimmick.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Guys,
please, Daniel, don't answer your phone.
I watch TV. Why don't you know this by now?
Daniel!
We're talking about Big E stealing my gimmick.
This is our resident caller, Daniel. Daniel, don't answer your phone. WWE, you do not want to hear the text. You do not want to hear the text WWE has sent you.
Yeah, if you start hearing your text, Daniel, I think you might want to, you know, need some help, like Matt over here may need.
Hey, phones can do that nowadays. You can tell your wouldn't that be terrible? Just, yeah, phone,
yes.
Read my text. You have been fired, JTG. No.
Yeah.
Apparently he's taking it very well. But anyway, Daniel, what did you want to talk about tonight? Because I assume you saw Monday Night Raw last night. So what would you like to talk about tonight?
God, I was going to talk about the match of the night, but...
Now I want to hear what was the match of the night.
Isn't it obvious? It was Dolph Ziggler versus Wade Barrett.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah.
So, would you agree, Satish, was that the match of the night?
You watched Raw, didn't you?
I'd
give you that much. I mean, it was a very entertaining match. The only thing is, there's still that little part of me that really wants Dolph to win everything possible. So
there's that part of me that feel like, here's the thing, and I'm sorry to interrupt, Daniel, but the thing is, I feel as if nothing would have really changed. I know what you're saying, well, Dolph would be the champion, well, obviously, but here's the thing, they're both in the Money in the Bank ladder match, so, and in a way, it wouldn't have given either of them a defense at the pay-per-view. It would have given Dolph the title, yes, but for how long? And with the way they're pushing Barrett could easily have won it back in 2 to 3 weeks. I know it's something for Dolph, which is amazing, but in a way, it felt as if nothing was really going to come of it.
Okay, I wanted Barrett to lose just so I would know there was a guarantee that he would win the Money in the Bank contract.
That too. Where
but
now it's pretty much a guarantee that he won't win.
No. There's a chance. There's a chance.
Well, no, there isn't a chance with both Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins there.
Oh, jeez.
I mean, that's but still, even if you know again. Yeah, I will admit, though, if Barrett had lost it, then you're right. There would actually be a huge chance, if only because of how, you know, high Vince McMahon is on bad news. So,
yeah.
And Triple
you know,
H, apparently, since he enjoys saying it.
That made me really happy, if only because I felt as if that was real Triple H. That wasn't him acting. That was just, but the way it went on, it just felt as if something my dad would do, where he really enjoys something, and it's like, all right, Dad, just please. But it felt nice, if only because it wasn't even that offensive. Where, I mean, yes, it was an imitation of, you know, something that Bad News, but it was something that Bad News, you know, Barrett says, where it's a bit different, let's say, if he was trying to do an Asian accent or something. If he was trying to, let's say, imitate Yoshitatsu, and he's like, guys, this is hilarious, and he starts, like, putting his fingers to his eyes, it's like, put your hands down. Which, by the way, he's actually has done something along those lines before, I think, in the Attitude Era. It was a DX skit.
Probably a Funaki or something.
No. It wasn't an Asian thing. It was. I believe he was making fun of Indian accents. He was in New York, and he was, like, getting some food from, I think, like, a halal car or something like that. The point is that, of course, it was really bad. But again, Attitude Era. So now, when we focus on now, I was really – it can be upsetting, I guess, if you're from the UK. But again, it – you know, there's lines here where it's just, you know, it was kind of funny. It made me feel happy that it was something that he enjoyed doing, and it
there's
wasn't
nothing wrong
anyone.
With that. He wasn't making
what?
Fun of the fact that Wade Barrett was British. He was
exactly.
making fun of his catchphrase.
Exactly.
If Wade Barrett's catchphrase has anything to do with the fact that he was British and he made fun of it, then he'd be towing a line. But
exactly.
It has nothing to do with that.
Yes, and of course, you know, talking about, you know, the match, it was a very good match. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Of course, you know, I can't really talk too much about it because Dolph is Dolph. So obviously it was good.
Did Dolph lose a tooth?
Probably.
Like, he may have lost a tooth on that bullhammer. You saw that too, right?
Because I saw something white just come off that.
It could have just been gum. You know, I would feel as if Dolph would be the person who would chew gum during
it
the
It also could have been his dignity. So I don't know. I
possibly.
Mean, you never know what these things are.
Let's be honest here, though.
No,
he lost that a long time ago.
Are you sure? Because I think he got some back recently. He beat Barrett cleanly on SmackDown. He got some dignity back.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a lot more.
He hammered the crap out of him, and it went away.
I think it would have been a lot more dignity.
But I wanted to talk about I have Dolph Ziggler on Twitter. And apparently and his tweet afterwards was, anyone want to see the measuring stick? I left it in the ring.
Hmm. Ooh. I mean, that's...
Either he lost his tooth or an enormous penis.
Could it be both?
Gosh.
No, but seriously, though, I think... I mean, I, at least that wasn't – I was worried he tweeted something like, yeah, I guess I'm not going to win at Money in the Bank either, or something like that. I thought it was going to be really – thank goodness that was – I mean, it was cocky of him, but that's just his character.
Yeah, it's cocky.
I was really him. I was really worried that he was going to say something like,
but his character
shifted
tonight, I would argue.
Explain.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that completely.
No, I mean, I would argue that his main event promo showed a different side of Dolph Ziggler tonight.
Right. Sadly, okay. I was unable to see that because my WWE Network was, sadly,
evil.
Wait.
Yes.
The Rock? Wait.
Yes, Daniel?
Wait. Oh, sorry. I don't have the network.
Oh, well
Daniel.
You should. You should get the network.
You don't know one of the prerequisites of calling into our podcast is having the network, right?
When was this a prerequisite?
when you need to get the network.
What is this? Matt started trying to get everyone in the world to get the network. It became a prerequisite.
You should get the network because...
What is this, college?
You should get the network because...
This is college.
Yeah.
My president is black and my non-invisible Lambo is blue. Now get the fuck off my podcast.
I want to cut him off right now if I could. No, but seriously, though, but all jokes aside, Daniel, you know, thank you for calling in.
No
problem. You know, it was a good match, obviously. Hopefully that Dolph Ziggler, you know, hopefully Dolph can win it. The Money in the Bank, I'm crying right now.
He won't win.
Oh, I'm crying. But it would be nice if he did. But
if anyone wins, it's Rollins.
That's fairly accurate. But
that traitor
tonight,
Rollins?
Daniel. What? X-Men
that
villain Rollins?
Rollins?
Yeah, Rollins.
I thought you cut him off.
I just did. But thank you, Daniel. Hopefully you can still listen. If anyone else wants to call in, please do, you know, any particular segment that we're talking about, definitely just call right on in and talk to us about it. Because, hey, we love talking to you guys. But yes, that traitor Rollins. The X-Men villain, Traitor Rollins, who's secretly working
I want
with the
that to become a thing. If the Demon Kane is a thing, that Traitor Rollins should also become a thing.
What I'm wondering is this much, though. It's, okay, so he is an X-Men villain, but he's not working with Magneto, because he has betrayed his brothers, so he's not working with the Brotherhood.
No, honestly, I mean, in terms of X-Men villains, you could say he's gone rogue.
You could literally say he's gone rogue, completely. Like if he right now touched John Cena, he could fly.
I like that. That was pretty good.
Thank you. But anyway, so moving forward, though, or moving backward, Jimmy Uso versus Harper, that whole thing. Music was very interesting. And
yeah.
I like that. It's weird. I think they're trying out a thing where, like, they're just giving people different music and saying, go out and do something. And they're gauging fan reaction. But what I enjoyed is, what I think I enjoyed about that the most is that I want more people to be given less production values, where it looks as if, like, people would say, oh, their entrance looks, you know, incomplete. I kind of want that more. You know, I don't like, let's say we have Kane come out, right, where it's like, oh, no, Kane is coming out to fight Roman Reigns out of nowhere. Was it really out of nowhere? Because his music was just cute. And so were the pyrotechnics.
I think what I found interesting, though, is that for me, I got creepy carnival vibe, and it worked.
Me too.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, but I like that there was nothing done with the lighting. That's the thing. Where I feel
I love that, by the way, because it fits them perfectly. Because normally they come out in darkness. So why should they? You know, why should the brothers end up like getting fire or some kind of crazy? No, they get a really simple creepy end because that's what
they
do.
Yes, and that's what I think I liked. The one thing I didn't like, though, and this really deals with more with the match and the runtime, this is why I think we could have cut out that Vicky thing because, you know, the match itself. Because you look at their match, right, the whole, you know, it's Harper versus this and this is this, right? It was a perfect thing to do, I think. It wasn't a bad thing to do. But what they had to do is they didn't give them extra match time. They didn't even give them a match and a half. They just said, you're going to have, a set normal match run time, and then we're going to cut that in two. And by doing that, you end up making Jimmy look weak and Rowan look weak somehow. Because
my issue was, by the way, Uso Crazy does not work as a catchphrase. Who thought of that? It's really stupid.
I actually think it works. I think it was. Here's the thing, though. I don't think, mind you, here's the thing. In no way do I think that that's a serious thing at all. So I don't think you should be intimidated by it. So if you're saying that you should be in,
no,
I don't believe.
I'm
okay,
saying that whatever purpose it serves, it is a terrible turn of phrase and makes no sense.
What I think, okay, here's the thing. I think if it were to be used then, they should possibly be using it to each other in a way of saying, oh, so crazy. Like,
yeah,
as in
maybe,
like a kind of.
But it sounds like a bad
right.
catchphrase from a blaxploitation film. Where it's like,
I agree with that 100%.
Oh, so crazy? We are. Oh, so crazy. And that's just the name of the film. And it's a shitty version of Undercover Brother.
Like dynamite. So dynamite. But yes, no, I see that completely. So I guess I see your point. I just do think that it can work on a funny in a funny way. But yes, if you
but
are
the tag team
you are,
champions, like
really,
if they're
I didn't
gonna
know.
Use a catchphrase like
right.
that, I mean, I want them to have like okay, the Usos are fun and cool like that, and that phrase is just weird for me because it
right.
doesn't strike me as funny or fitting with them because. I'm not mad that it's not intimidating because the Usos are not intimidating.
Okay, good. I don't know. I do see it funny, but I can understand why you could also say it doesn't work and it does need some fine tweaking. But, of course, I just feel as if they don't. That's the thing where we've talked about where it's just the people at the top are going to get the top, you know, this and that. And then the people at the bottom are going to get even
yeah,
if they
it
get
is,
something.
It is just me kind of nitpicking because, again, I still
no,
do
no,
like
but
the
I
Usos.
Agree.
You know?
No, but I agree, though. In a perfect world, they would hire two sets of people. And they would come together and talk, obviously. But they'd hire people who would only work at the top. And clearly what I think, you know, whoever's working at the top storyline, I don't think they're the worst in the world. At least when everyone's there and accounted for and things, you know, and wrenches aren't being thrown by, you know, injured people, sadly. But they need to hire people like us, not saying you and I, because we don't know anything. I'm saying people like us who would go, no, we care about the mid-card. We want to give them time. We want to make the best for them. Just hire us to work with the mid-card. You guys can deal with the Cenas and whoever else is up there or who you consider up there. We'll work with the mid-card.
Hell,
we'll
give
make
me
them...
the Divas. I would
oh,
love.
You... Oh, my
I
God.
I would love
if you
to
give us
the
Divas
division.
Oh, it'd be great. Oh, my God. We would actually give a fuck. I mean, it would be wonderful. And I feel bad that we're cursing a lot because I usually try to curse maybe once or twice per, but oh my God, we would give a flying fuck. We would. We really would. Oh, it would be wonderful.
Actually, I'm getting word, Matt, that actually because of that, we're overqualified for the position. Wow. That kind of hurts. But, yeah.
That's actually very upsetting.
Wow.
But,
all right,
but I mean, it sounds about right. We are
maybe we can slide by pretending not to. Like, maybe when we apply, we can
I
ask for
Paige's
more Fulfill Your Fantasy matches and compliment
Nikki's,
Jerry Lawler?
Nikki's breast enhancement was needed for the product.
Yeah, no, that can work. That can work. Good thinking, man. We can do this.
Emma deserves another sock puppet. They need to kiss and have a family.
They need to kiss and have a family.
That's how it happens. That's how
in
they
my
kiss
head,
and then
I
they
was thinking,
more.
I thought you were going to make a lesbian joke, where it's like, why don't we have more lesbian scenes, like with Tori and who was that back in the day? Do you know that scene? When
I don't know that
did
scene.
Like a lesbian softcore porno in the Attitude Era.
No, but that sounds like something they would do in the Attitude Era.
And
it sounds
it
like something
Tori
people
Wilson
in the company.
Maddie, you gotta
push.
Help me out here, and I know this is not one you want to look up, but please.
I feel as if you're doing this just to, yes, Maddie, do extensive research on this topic. Like, I don't like you, but seriously.
I'm abusing Maddie now?
but let's talk about the Bray promo, since we're moving on. Let's talk about the Bray promo,
shall
we?
Which I thought was cool.
I thought it was cool. I loved the ladder tie-in. I really did.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that my only issue, and hopefully this happens if he wins the title, the other members of his family win the title. I just, you know, the titles, the tag teams. I want someone to denounce it. It's just, it's really weird how now all of a sudden it's just, you know, like Brayfield seems like the kind of person who he's, you know, everything is always, okay, no matter what happens, raindrops are always falling on his head. You know, no matter what, like John Cena can actually physically bury him and he will just claw his way out and just go, well, you know, it's from Bray Wyatt. Like it just feels weird.
No,
I think
you mentioned
that
when he physically buries him and Bray's
yes.
like, I'm happy, John. Why can't I stop smiling? And
Joe's
like,
All we see is a little crazy straw pop up from the ground and just turn, and you can hear everything Bray Wyatt says through the straw.
As the first thing that happens when that
straw
comes
that
up,
look. What?
The straw is just, he's got the whole grain in his hands. He's got the whole.
John Cena tries to take out little mini scissors. He cannot cut the straw.
It keeps coming back up. But, no, I mean, I thought the Bray promo was cool, but, yeah, like,
it was,
it's hard to sit there and justify why Bray cares about the title. So there's a part of me that sits there and thinks, okay, maybe he doesn't. Like, maybe he, if he were to win it, he would just sit there and be like, so what has changed, people? You know, will you listen to my message now, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like,
but
I
really want there to be a WWE in-house Bray throws the title in the garbage. If only because that would be like, you know, lighting Hulk Hogan's shirt on fire. That would be the
mm-hmm.
thing which would make people go like, whoa, what are you doing? That's wrong. And then even if you have, let's say, John Cena or someone of, you know, whoever, pick up the title and go, well, then this is mine now. Bray can just laugh and go, then you can have it. And then in a way, it's as if John is trying to make himself lose so that Bray can re-win it and care. So every 5 seconds, John Cena, who's holding a title, drops it, lays on the ground and goes, please pin me. Just care about this title. As if it's just, you know,
that would be
please.
Interesting. Because in my head, the title, like, okay,
mm-hmm.
if you were to do something like that with Bray, like if you were to do the thing in the garbage, the reason why I feel like they may be scared to do it, right?
Right.
In a way, that's sort of like doing the, like throwing the American flag in the trash.
But that's the thing. So that's why he can, because we need him to
logically,
get
logically, it makes
heat.
A lot of sense.
Because here's the thing. They need to do things that get him booze. Like, the whole, okay, what he did to Jerry Lawler, right? That is something that, you know, before Jerry kind of did this whole thing with Paige that we'll talk about soon, it made you think, like, wow, like, Bray Wyatt is kind of, like, you know, he's really screwed up. Like, because even though he'll still get cheers.
It just made me think, Bray Wyatt's one of us, ain't he?
Yeah, right. No, but Bray Wyatt is really screwed up. That's what you're supposed to think. And honestly, it was a great way to go about making, at least attempting to have people go, we should really boo this guy. Where if he throws a title either in the trash or tries to demean it, it really makes you want to boo him. And it makes you at least think, okay, you know, I want, no matter who it is, if it's, because imagine if, you know, he keeps the titles until Daniel Bryan comes back. Because when Daniel Bryan comes back, now a guy who's been basically shitting on the titles, we will love Daniel Bryan coming back, beating him for that title, beating his face in, and then holding them up and saying, you know, I wanted to come back just for these. You know, I wanted to come back just to show you, you know, just to be your champion. And we would eat it up. And that's the thing that I think that we need, where you try to give it to Cena, for, you know, Cena Bryan round two, I will admit, yes, we want his face to be punched in. Yes, we do, you know, want Bryan to win. But it's still not a heel thing. It's a face versus face kind of let's shake each other's hand, where if you really want to build up your heels, because while apparently there's more heels than faces, when you break it down, there's only maybe one actual main event heel compared to how many faces there are. When you actually break it down to who's actively competing, even though there's a nice little lovely list on Cage Side Seats, actually, when you break it down, you know, both sides, there's only one extra heel to, you know, compared to who's competing currently on the roster right now. So we really need to have a big heel, like Bray, to be even bigger, because Bray's still getting those cheers. We need to make some people think, like, huh, this dude's, like, that's wrong. That's a bad
mm-hmm.
thing to do. And I think that would be a perfect thing. But sadly, I don't think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to just have him try to promote his message more as if he needed the titles, which is kind of like a Lana thing, where it's like, Lana, you don't need them to care, you know, about your rants because
mm-hmm.
Rusev is winning, as you've mentioned before. So it's like, Bray, even though I will admit you are losing, the followers have still not strayed, strangely, you know, which is actually, I feel like that's something that I wish that could have been something that he mentions, where it's just John, you know, no one has really stopped, you know, with the whole cause thing. So that's really nice. I like that. Because it's true. Just not one person has said, you know what, screw you, Bray Wyatt. I was a supporter before, but not now. No, it's as if we care more now. It's great.
Right, because we're all just scared about Bray being put down.
Yeah.
So.
But and also, you know, moving forward, we have the Daniel Bryan Money in the Bank kickoff. And I'm very surprised.
Interesting, because it's indicative of the fact that they still really care about him and they want him to be involved.
Nice.
But also, A, they're wasting a pre-show slot so it could be a match.
Right.
And B, what exactly is going to happen here that couldn't happen on Raw?
You know what I think there? You know what I think it is? Okay, here's the thing. First off, you're right. Completely wasting a slot doesn't need to happen. However, it really dawned on me. They took the titles without him really saying anything about it. I mean, he said something about it the night before they took the titles, but they just kind of just said, and now we're taking the titles. So this could be his saying, you know, please keep on rooting for me, keep on supporting me. Kind of like how, you know, on in GM mode in, you know, SmackDown versus Raw, you'd have a, let's have this person appear without actually using any fatigue. Quite literally just that, right?
Right.
But at the same time, what I think is the issue is, yes, as you said, they're holding up a slot, but maybe they're just, okay, they have enough competitors, obviously, but if they're going to have certain things here and there happen where it's like, okay, here's a title here, here's a storyline here, and then sadly, as I've mentioned, they have the Intercontinental and the United States Championship both tied up into Money in the Bank ladder matches.
Which
there's
is
a chance,
great and horrible at the same
completely,
time.
Completely, completely. I mostly vote for horrible, honestly. Especially
no,
because,
honestly, if they consistently were to defend the Intercontinental and U.S. titles,
right,
this would be the one pay-per-view where I wouldn't feel bad with them putting them in the match because of the
right
fact that it just makes sense. You know,
but
why
sadly,
would your top other
right
two champions not be in a match for this championship shot?
But,
you know,
but sadly, here's the thing. Here's the thing. If Sheamus and Barrett were in the championship shot match, I'd be okay. The fact that Sheamus is in the match
yeah, this
for
is a special circumstance where it is
right
a little different.
Right. And also I would like to add that the fact that, okay, Barrett fighting Ziggler, the fact that the rumors were going to be on the pay-per-view make me feel as if this is a repeat of Adam Rose versus Jack Swagger, where it feels as if they were going to put them on the, you know, the storyline made it seem as if they're going to do Swagger versus Adam Rose on the pay-per-view, at Payback, and then for some reason had to bump them off. Right? This seems like it's the same exact thing, where it's just, we were going to put them in there, but now we can't.
By the way,
we must bump them off.
Is
right
he doing anything for the pay-per-view, Adam Rose?
Well,
now that
it's funny. I bet you that he'll be thrown into something that we don't even know about yet. You know, I bet you he will, honestly. And that's another problem, where we're already at Friday, and we're sitting here thinking, wait, are we really, like how is the pay-per-view going to work? Like, is each ladder match going to be 2 hours? You know, because 1 hour each, rather, because we have two ladder matches. We have Paige versus Naomi. We have the tag team champions versus, you know, the two members of the Wyatt family. That's only 4 matches.
That's
so
what happened. Well, we've got Reb Axel versus
I'm so sorry. Right, so that's 5 matches, right. So then, yeah, maybe that's going to be, maybe that's going to
Do
be our entire
a team
night.
Name for them, by the way?
No, I mean, there's been many. I remember that I believe there was a poll on WWE.com, I think. And, I mean, they haven't really announced one yet. Maybe we can get one on SmackDown or possibly, you know, on, as Money in the Bank. But, yeah, so we have 5 matches thus far. That's what I'm, so maybe there's a chance that they didn't, because everyone's wrapped up in other things, they kind of didn't want to throw a quote-unquote random match. You know, it would be nice to have, let's say, Damian Sandow doing something funny, like maybe Damian Sandow versus Adam Rose or something, but still, I don't know. Hell, we could be seeing a Fandango thing on the card, but that's another issue, where if that really does happen on SmackDown, that's way too close to be...
Yeah, we'll see what happens in terms of their segment on the card, because it's almost guaranteed now that there will be one.
Yes. Also, speaking of Adam Rose, just very quickly, yes, he hasn't been on the card recently. There's been some rumors. I know we did a rumor mill, but still, there's been some rumors that I didn't think were really anything major, but apparently it looks like they are, that he's kind of been taken away from television. At least, well, he was on SmackDown, mind you. He was on SmackDown. He did have a thing with Titus O'Neil, but
Titus came out again, rather, but...
Right. Getting to that, we'll get to that a bit later, but yeah, he did have a little thing
Adam
with...
Adam wasn't on Raw, right?
Not at all, no. Which is weird, because, yes, he is on TV half of the week, but it makes you think, okay, so why is he, you know, why is he not on the big show?
Boy.
He was on Superstars, mind you, so...
And so it frickin' begins.
I know, that's the issue, where, I mean, I will admit, if they keep him as a SmackDown guy, I would have no problem with that. But, I mean, okay. we'll see what happens this week, you know, this weekend, or, you know, this Friday, because he wasn't on Raw. He wasn't on SmackDown. Honestly, by Sunday, we'll see if he was even on Superstars. See, that also does matter, because they could have used Superstars as a way to get the crowd, you know, pumped up. So, we don't know as of yet.
We'll find out.
But as we've mentioned, you know, quickly before we move on, Daniel Bryan, him talking, the biggest problem with that, really, is, in my opinion, is that it won't get people to want to see the pay-per-view, I feel. You know, there's no way, you can get people to support Daniel Bryan still and not forget that he exists, which, as you said, is really nice. We were happy that they believe in him. But in no way is that going to promote your pay-per-view. The same way that the last two matches that they've had as kickoffs, while not being the worst matches in the world, still in no way make you think, I have to buy this pay-per-view now.
Yeah, I mean, that's confusing for me. And, I mean, then again, Kane being included in the match, the Money in the Bank, is also confusing for me. So I'm in a place where certain things are confusing me. And I can't...
And not in a good way.
No, yeah, because there are certain things that I've admitted to you before. Element of surprise is awesome, and it makes me happy. You know,
Seth Rollins being one.
Yeah, like, that's great. You know, you swerve me, and I'm like, okay, great, I'm interested. But certain things, it's like, I don't know why you're doing what you're doing, and it really confuses me.
Exactly.
I mean, we'll see. You know, because it is just Sunday.
Yeah. No, and before we get to the Rusev segment, one little line. Cole, what the fuck are you wearing? He clearly let Vince pick out his wardrobe. He's literally a mini Vince. That looks like something Vince McMahon wore in the 90s. Everyone, look at everyone.
You waited till now to say that. Like,
because
you were just
that's
hoping
what it really...
for a low.
No. What I was waiting for was, I honestly, maybe it's because I was, you know, sadly I had to watch a replay of Raw, you know, so I didn't really see it, you know, I didn't really see him, like, in the beginning of Raw, you know, see his wardrobe. I don't know if they even flashed to it because of how Raw opened. So when they finally flashed to it, after the Daniel Bryan kickoff, I'm looking at this thinking, Colt, what the hell are you wearing? I mean, I was just so confused because it's just Colt, like, did you, and by the way, if anyone's thinking, oh, that's not what Vince McMahon wore in the 90s, go on the WWE Network and look up the Monday Night Raws, which they have actually been updating, thank you, WWE, the one thing I'll thank you for, and go see Vince McMahon on commentary on Monday Night Raw. Back
Unless
before
you're Daniel,
they actually...
who apparently right. calls in to us and doesn't have the network.
I don't know why you wouldn't, Daniel. It's so cheap that, honestly, you couldn't cut cable. Because don't give them ratings. Just give them money via the network. It's okay.
It's cable.
Exactly. But moving forward, the Rusev segment, the whole, you know, in D.C., I liked, you know, what Lana was doing. Because obviously she was great as always. And I didn't want her to be on TV because I think it would ruin that segment. And she was on TV, sadly, later, but it wasn't for that long, so it didn't really ruin the segment. And she just had some amazing lines where, you know, I mean, there's this one line that really stuck out to me where it's, you know, you can't ask what your country can do for you when your country can't even help itself.
This was one of the times where the promo just naturally works because you're in Washington, frickin' D.C. So no matter what you say back... America, you're going to get people riled up because you're in the capital of the country.
And also, you know, sadly, people have said, and I say sad not because of the people saying it, but because, you know, there's some salt, there is some truth to it, where people have said, oh, that Obama thing was because Vince McMahon is, you know, is a heavy Republican, which is upsetting, but at the same time, it's okay that it's coming through Lana, you know? And this is another thing where it's okay that it's coming through Lana. The Triple H thing, however, that happened later, that kind of disturbed me a bit.
I don't know what you're referring to directly, but I'm sure I will when you mention it.
Okay, when Triple H came out and he mentioned the politician hate where exactly, where he's like, you know, here we are in a place where politicians constantly are making, you know, bad decisions, and here I am being considered the bad guy.
I thought that was just a cheap heat thing.
I did too, but again, why, I know that that's where they are, I guess, but it's one of those things where I felt as if it was just, again, okay, too much of it in a night. We talked about this.
That's different than saying, like, your sports team is racist.
That's the thing,
but,
you know. No, because because that's the thing. Where we talked about this when Damian Sandow, on the same night as Bo Dallas, both mentioned the sports team, when Damian Sandow was actually someone from the sports. Yeah, I don't watch sports, but you know what night I'm
I don't know
about.
What sports are, but I think they have teams.
Yeah, I'm fairly certain. But you know exactly what I was referring to, and I made the comment
yep.
that night where it was too tight, you know, one or the other, or split them up better. Don't do it basically a segment after another. And then,
yeah.
while it was split up better, it still felt as if it's just really politician stuff again from a guy who normally doesn't really talk about politics, and that's the thing, where it just, again, it feels as if it just rubs me the wrong way. It rubs me of the, oh, we're McMahons and we're Republicans, and this is what we would like to, you know, do. It was just, I don't know, that's how it came off to me.
Oh, yeah,
but
I guess
Lana,
I mean,
thing was
in
perfect.
Their heads, in
right.
their heads, it's cheap heat. It's just the same as saying, like, your sports team sucks. Because,
guess,
you know,
I,
it's
I
like going to, it's going like Tennessee and saying, like, you guys know nothing about music.
Right, right, right.
You get what I mean? So
yeah,
I agree with you because it seems
sure.
like an underhanded, like, skew government thing.
Yeah.
But to them, I'm sure they think, like, oh, it's a cheap heat thing.
And I guess that's the biggest problem. To them, things don't really, aren't really as big of
well,
a deal
to
as
them,
they should be.
You know.
And you know, you, and we'll be talking about what I mean by that soon.
Them.
But I would also like to mention that there was a tour bus behind Rusev, and I really want to know what they thought. Literally, while Rusev was giving, you know, was speaking at the end, there was a red tour bus that just kind of went right by him. I think some people looked at him like, oh, there's a camera there. And I just really want to know what they thought. I really,
maybe
like,
this,
did they know?
Maybe this
that
man
was
is
Rusev?
Running for government. You sit
That's
there
the thing,
and
yeah.
think, wow.
That's the thing. Did they know it was Rusev, or did they think, oh, wow, there's that man who's standing next to that, you know, that pretty woman. Is he running for government? Should I vote for that man? It just reminds me.
Rusev Matria, Rusev Barskov could be an interesting catchphrase.
Yeah, I because here's the thing. I'm not a big fan of Jimmy Kimmel, but I've seen some of his late night where they do that whole, oh, we're going to ask people
yeah.
bad, you know, things that aren't real. Like, oh, did you know that Godzilla was based on a true story? Like, I feel as if WWE should do that. Like, would you vote for Alexander Rusev?
Rusev Matria, Rusev Patria, 2016. Everyone's like, what the hell? I thought you hated America. Yes, and we will now destroy it from the inside out.
Immediately just is working with Zeb Coulter. That would be beautiful.
I would love if they did some crap like that. But
Rusev is now a real American.
The Rusev promo, it is what it is. It was
yeah.
what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it
yeah.
wasn't bad. I'll give him
no,
that.
Not
this
at all.
This one was actually entertaining.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. And, of course, you know, we have Alicia Fox versus Naomi. And it's a weird – it's, again, everything
–
okay, before we even get to the King thing, I just want to start off with Cameron. Every good thing has to come with a bad thing, where Cameron is the heel. Awesome.
Oh,
but she isn't good at
God.
All. No, but here's the thing, Satish. Here's the thing, Satish.
No. Like, how does that woman have a job?
No, because here's the thing, Satish. I would actually, and I know you're going to yell at me, I would suggest you watch Total Divas. Hell, it's coming to the network, thank God.
I've heard that
finally.
She is equally as annoying on Total Divas, so why would I watch that?
But here's
that?
The thing, because here's the thing. She isn't equally as annoying, she is more annoying. But you want to know why it's good that she's more annoying? Because she's an energetic kind of annoying, where we've talked about this, where she would say something like, you know, she's house-sitting for Natty, and she says something like, oh, let's go through, you know, like, oh, we're going to have a party at her house, we're gonna drink all her booze, we're going to have fun, and then she loses the cat, right? You hate her. You hate her fucking guts, but at least she's energetic about it in a way where it comes off as, in a way, entertaining. Where in this case, for some reason, someone told her, you have to play a quiet heel, or someone said, you have to be a heel, and she took that as being quiet, when it's like, no, normally when you're energetic and fun and happy, people want to punch your face in. Just take that and be mean about it and do mean things, and people would eat up your heel, because I think that she would be at least an entertaining heel if she would just be herself but do mean things, rather than think that it's better to be quiet and to just interrupt everything the other person says, and she just gets X-Pac heat. That's the problem, I think.
Actually, honey, I actually think she'd actually be a really bad heel, actually, if they gave her the chance, honey, to do things,
I'm sorry. First off, I don't know. Thank you for calling me, honey. Second, I don't know. There's something, I'm really angry about this, so clearly the actualies are coming out. But
I wasn't making fun of you. I was making fun of her.
Oh, thank you.
Because
I thought, no, because I would do that. Because
if
I would
you listen
do that.
Back to her, it was honey, and actually, and just very limited choice of words.
That's the thing, because
and that wasn't
I
even
really...
the worst part about the segment.
No, there's actually
that. Like, at this point on the podcast, we would just sit here and think, man, things have got pretty bad. But no, Jerry fucking Lawler.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing about Jerry fucking Lawler. He said it's okay before the thing. And by the way, everyone, I'm sure you've heard, if you haven't heard, there's a picture that's going around of Jerry Lawler looking at Paige's butt when she stood up, you know, and it's...
Why is that picture going around, Matt? Because he tweeted it!
Because someone tweeted at him, and then he retweeted it and made a joke about it instead of just either leaving it alone or apologizing. And that's the problem. Now, here, before I even mention that, though, I would like to say this. Michael Cole said, damn, we can't get a word in edgewise. King says, well, I guess you're not used to being around women very much. And 6 more months of sensitivity training for you. Please don't grab Paige's breast. And now I hear about this. And it's like, all right, Jerry, a full year.
No, if you're going to keep somebody on the staff, on commentary where they can influence young minds... of that age, they better be JR, because he knows how the business works, he knows how human beings work, you know, and that's why it's not a problem. Jerry is a prototypical older guy from an older generation whose ideals don't match up with ours right now. So,
no.
In a weird way, I don't particularly... Like, I don't know how to say it. Like, it's not that I say I want to excuse him of blame, because it's still pretty disgusting.
No.
But
here's the thing. I personally think that Jerry could work perfectly if they were literally back in the Attitude Era. And the problem is that they're not. The problem is not only have times moved on, but they claim to have moved on. See, and people have mentioned this elsewhere, so I'm happy that I'm not alone in this. What angers me the most is that WWE does this two-facedness. You know, and I like Two-Face as a character in Batman, but I don't like him being the WWE. Because what we have in the WWE is, you know, don't be a bully. Be a star. John Cena basically, you know, Bray Wyatt and, you know, in a last man standing match in a way that Bray couldn't even win if he wanted to. Does the I, you can't see me thing and then proclaims to be there for children. Also picks up the never give up thing as if that actually is a good thing. Where it's like, John, you just cheated. No, I didn't. John, you just cheated. Don't be a bully. John, you threw steel steps at his head, John. That's, you said he was a human. You could have given him brain damage. John, that's not good for the kids. You know, little things like that, where it's just, you know, it's like, be a star, Hosky. Little things like that, where it's just,
no, like,
you know.
This is 2014, right?
Right.
And we have a quote-unquote face announcer encouraging the fact that he was caught looking at one of the employees in a very sexualized way. And, like, I sat here and I told you, Matt, like, look, I find Paige attractive. I'm not going to deny that.
As do I.
Do I look at her and think, wow, that's a beautiful woman sometimes? I damn well do. And I'm not going to deny that.
No.
But when it comes to talking about Paige, in terms of, like, on the podcast, as much as I joke and as much as I make it a thing, a lot of it is because I think she's very talented at what she does, and you know this.
Oh,
and
no, she's... Yeah, of course.
This isn't me defending myself. This is me saying this is the way that I think.
Yeah.
You know?
And here's the, and of course, as you mentioned, Jerry is an employee. You are not an employee of the WWE. Hopefully yet. Hopefully one day maybe you can, and maybe you can, you know, you can change some things up, spice some things up. But right now, you and I are not employees of the WWE. You know, I work with kids. I work, you know, I am a coach on the speech and debate team. My coworker is female. You know, she and I, you know, do not, I mean, maybe she may make a joke about this or that or something, but neither, we do not joke about each other's physiques. We do not joke about each other and our relationships, you know, with others, you know, because she has a boyfriend, I have a girlfriend. We do not do that because we are professional at the workplace. You know, no matter how sarcastic and funny she can be, I might throw in some funny stuff there, but none of it is workplace inappropriate.
Yeah,
and that's the thing right there.
And there are certain parts of this issue that I don't always take, like, you know, side with. Like, for example, saying, oh, that the women are dressed to be sexualized. This is wrestling. This is one part where the men are dressed to be sexualized, too.
Exactly.
To be fair, you know?
Exactly.
The problem is the booking, though. because the women are booked to be objectified and sexualized. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
completely.
So that's the issue there. And that being said, I mean, Lawler just, he doesn't fit with today's ideals, and he's a black mark on your company because of that.
Yeah. And also another thing that we didn't touch upon, which is really does matter, and people for some reason are trying to overlook this. He is in a position of power, if only because he has seniority.
Right. I mean, we saw Paige basically encourage it when she had to tweet about it. And I'm sure that on the inside she hates it, but she has to make an open tweet encouraging it because of the fact that she could lose her positioning or something for speaking out against it.
And even if she found it funny, it's one of those situations where then you can joke about it specifically with someone, but not as a whole. Where if I was, let's say she really does think it's funny, because there are some that do. My girlfriend would probably think something like that would be funny. It's like, haha, you were caught, old man, right?
Yeah.
She, again, you could joke with her about it, probably to her face, and she would again laugh and joke with you about it because, again, that's who she is. But that in no way means that you should tweet that for everyone in the company to see, for every woman and
that's
man in
the
company
the thing
to see.
Too, yeah.
And then the kids who are thinking, haha, you see, yeah, that's funny. He was
that's
looking at her
problem.
Butt. It's like,
there
no, that's not funny.
Because
and then
of
again,
the public reach and that kind of stuff.
Yes,
because,
exactly.
Again, I'm not going to lie. AJ, Paige, Emma, I find them very attractive. And that's not something I hide. You know, I don't think I have to hide it either because they are beautiful people. There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm not sexualizing them. I'm not saying that Eva Marie should be pushed because she looks like a model or Rosa Mendez. You know, more like, it just, I don't get it. Like, I don't get what makes him think it's okay for him to do that and how bad it is when you really think about
well,
it.
Well, it's the thing is, again, for all we know, he could have been thinking, oh, if I, you know, for all we know, he could be thinking this is a way to save face. You know, because, again, he's old. Sadly, sometimes it just doesn't click because it's a generation. What matters, though, isn't Jerry Lawler, actually. What matters more than Jerry Lawler is the WWE. And while they've taken the tweet down, I still feel as if, based on the track record, he is going to get nothing, you know, he's going to get no reprimand whatsoever. Hell, we may even have, sadly, Paige somehow, you know, lose out somehow. And I don't think she will because from the way it looks like to us, she handled this perfectly. But still, it's been known. I mean, we've had situations where, you know, I mean, yes, there's been, suspensions, let's say, or something. But, I mean, nothing major where I don't think he's really going to be corrected on his behavior. I don't think he's going to be shown the door. I don't think he
that's
should be, but I'm
too.
Saying he's not
this
going to be.
This is not going
to
be something Jerry's going to be shown the door of. This is not something they're going to issue a public apology over.
And they really should, because I mentioned this to you. If I were to, I would write his public apology because I would basically have him say, "Listen, you know, I looked at her butt because it is a nice butt, but in no way should I have because we are in a professional setting. This is a professional environment. Paige is an employee. I would like to apologize to her and to any women that I have offended, but please understand that I enjoy women's butts. But again, we are in the workplace." You know, because that's what matters. Where
and
he is
just,
in
and this is
the
a
workplace.
Face announcer. You know,
that's
this
the thing
isn't
too.
When it was
because,
heel Jerry,
you know,
where he was like puppies, and he was
for
a bad
some
person
reason,
because of that.
Yeah, for some reason, people are bringing that up as if he's still that guy, which makes me really think that they're actually not watching Raw on a weekly basis. It's very
poor. Yeah, this is not the same guy.
Yeah. No, it's not supposed to be. Because it's like saying, you know, if Michael Cole said, yeah, screw John Cena, everyone goes, well, of course he would say that. Because he said he could, because he was that guy once.
Right, but
he's
that's not yeah.
now. You know, it's
and
not
I guess
who
what
he is
bothers
right
me
now.
Too is that this isn't like this. It's one thing when they're booking a character to be pretty shitty, but
right.
this feels like this is Lawler's. You know, this is Lawler. This is who he is. You know, he dresses in clothes that I should be wearing, and then ogles like the divas, and
right.
it's just kind of weird. Like I feel uncomfortable knowing that. And he doesn't provide good commentary. So arguably, it's very hard to sit here and tell me there is a reason we need this man currently on commentary.
That's the thing. You really don't. And I think that, you know, for some reason they think he's, you know, that bridge between the Attitude Era, and for some reason maybe that'll bring people into watching. I mean, you've seen the people that they've brought back just for nostalgia purposes, and it has worked. So I think that's what they might be thinking. But again, it's old. It's old hat. It doesn't matter now. If he was taken off, it wouldn't really matter. And I think that they need to address this. They're not going to, but they really should, because they really need to understand. Because, again, hey, I'll say this. Ready? I don't know if I'd still be a fan if they did this, but if they had were not really pushing this PG era, if they truly did not care, then I wouldn't care in a way, because it'd be a situation where it's just them saying, we're not going to ever better ourselves. We're happy with where we are, and that's where we are. And you and I don't know about you, but I would say, well, you know, that's what they're saying. That's what they're doing. But no, they're trying to promote, be a star. You know, we're going to help. We're going to make these, you know, these charities for people who've had cancer. And we're going to, you know, help out, you know, the breast cancer and Special Olympics and all this stuff. And yet at the end of the day, they're doing jack shit to change. And that is what gets me extremely angry and my blood boiling. Where it's just, if you're not going to promote change, then okay, we see what you guys are doing. But if you're going to promote change and then not have the change and then sit there and go, huh, no one's getting the WWE Network. No one's watching on TV. For some reason, we haven't gotten better, a better TV deal. Well, why is this happening? Well, golly fucking gee.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I want to say let's move on because we spent enough time on this, but
I could spend
there is
not
time
enough
on
time.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's
not,
the thing. Like,
we will
we
move
don't
on.
Have enough
we
time.
Will move on. Yeah.
But we don't have enough time to ramp on this because it's just not good. It isn't. And
no. It's just upsetting because, again, they've tried. Or they're claiming to try.
Oh, yeah, and don't get me wrong, by the way. Cameron still really sucks at everything that she does.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not... No, that's the thing. I feel as if she really needs that tweak where, for some reason, someone told her, you know, if you're really quiet and sound intimidating, you'll be just like Roman Reigns when he was a... There's no sounding intimidating for you, Cameron. And there's no needing to interrupt and whatever. No, just if you're going... Like, I'd rather her come out and be peppy and just be like, you know what? Like, I don't care about you because I'm going to win. And guess what? You suck. So, you know, you got the championship because it was a fluke and you've beaten other people, you know, and good, you're better than them. But that doesn't mean that you're better than me. You know, I'd rather her just do that. And even because she'd still get heel heat and she'd still be annoying as hell. But at least she'd seem as if she'd be herself, because it seemed, I think the worst thing about this was that she isn't a good actor, an actress. And this in no way made you feel as if she, you know, this made you feel as if it was completely forced on her end. And that's the problem, where it was forced and she isn't even a good actress in a way that makes you think, oh, she's acting. No. She's just
like, all I get
happy
from Cameron is that no matter what they have her do, she's going to annoy me.
So she may as well be peppy with it, though, because at the very least, that's being true to herself and it's, you know, and it's still being, you know, a heel, because she'd still be a peppy heel.
I think she's
got
an X-Pac heat for me either way. Honestly.
Fair enough, but wouldn't it be less heat, though? Wouldn't we be turning the heat down just a bit if she was very entertaining?
I'd have
That's
to see
I'm
it
saying.
In practice.
Watch Total Divas.
No.
It's on the network, which is needed, by the way. No, why would you not have that on the
I
on
love,
network?
By the way,
honestly?
That they're what? Putting Total Divas on network, season one.
Yeah.
And Michael Cole had to advertise it like it was new television.
That made me laugh a lot.
That was hilarious.
That
like,
was
you
hilarious.
Can, you can find, you know, you can watch them as they get towards their marriage and stuff. And I'm like, that happened already.
You know what, I'll say
live.
This much, though. Well, I'll say this much. If you didn't DVR it, you missed it because of the freaking pay-per-views. So, hey, at least it'll be on the network and you can, because that's the, if you can't put Raws on the network, at least put your Total Divas on the network. I'm hoping that by next, you know, by the time season 3 comes up, not only will they have the first two seasons on, but they'll be able to air it like maybe a week after or something, because I don't think E has an online streaming thing. So if you miss it on E, I feel as if you're screwed. You know, so I'm hoping that they can have season 3 on the network, if only because, you know, my girlfriend and I like to watch it together. So, you know, sometimes we won't be able to see it while it's airing because of those pesky pay-per-views that they air. You know, all those silly things that they put on at the exact same time that they'll have Total Divas on. So it would be nice if they're on the network earlier rather than a year or two later.
It would be nice if they seemed to share a brain across their programming. I feel like they freaking have people in creative and, like, who make these decisions in terms of timing for pay-per-views and Total Divas.
I don't,
like,
think they make it. No, here's the thing.
Room.
I'm 100% positive that whoever does the programming for E in no way knows or cares about the pay-per-views. And
but
that's a problem
should.
On them. But they should, yes. But I feel as if they don't. And that's a
I'm
huge
saying,
problem.
They're sitting in different rooms and refusing
no,
to
I
care.
Agree.
About
I
agree.
No,
other.
I agree. But what I'm saying is I don't think that there are – I feel as if that's something more – not creative. That's more – you know, that's something that – it's like higher-ups, you know, higher-ups that are so high up that
yeah,
they just don't even care about the WWE, you know, where with creative, it's just like, you know, but either way, you look at, let's move on, you know, to more things. Sheamus and Reigns, that was very weird. I like it, but I don't like that it makes Sheamus look weak, but I mean,
I
like that Reigns
stupid
is...
segment.
That's what I'm saying, where it's like, it feels as if it made Sheamus kind of, like, I felt as if right there, Sheamus should have been like, you know what, actually, fuck you, and then bro kicked
him.
That's
what I, yeah, he's just all happy, like, he was the Jolly Green Giant, and I'm not making a joke because he's Irish, I'm really not trying to be, like, an asshole
no,
or something.
No, you mean that, you mean
but
that.
But he really was just like, hey,
like if you would have
kicked
yeah.
my ass.
I did.
That's what I like about you. You kicked my ass.
Mm-hmm.
What the is wrong with you? There was, and then at the same time, Reigns is not, okay, in my opinion, Reigns is tough, but his
right.
character doesn't need to be based on his toughness. He is not like a rough, gruff brawler. To
no,
me,
no,
I
no,
think
no,
they
no.
need to let him be more of the smooth-talking, confident Roman
yeah.
Reigns. That we
they
see,
actually
like,
need
with
to
Renee
flip them
Young
around.
And that kind
yeah,
of stuff.
Yeah, if we had Sheamus being like, bro kick. You know, I feel like Sheamus needs to be a lot angrier. That's the problem, I think. They're trying to force these smiles on Sheamus, which I'm not saying are bad because, I'm not saying he's a bad face. But as you've mentioned, he can be a boring face. If we make him, also, I was trying to take a drink before, by the way. If anyone heard me almost choke, you made me almost choke on water. I need to have water during these podcasts, and you're trying to kill me, Satish. But anyway, so you have... you know, Sheamus being a face, I think he'd be more interesting heel. He'd be an angrier heel. His whole I want to fight thing would actually make sense, if you will. And Roman Reigns, like you said, smooth talker. He's because he is. I mean, you know, he's getting better at it. He had a little flub up on main event, which is kind of funny. But he still can do his thing, and I think he's getting a lot better at the smooth talking without being sexist with it. You know, and you know, if we're gonna bring up Jerry Lawler, we can bring up some Roman Reigns. Nothing major, just you know, when he would throw in a little things here and there, like hey, baby girl, you know, while some of the girls may swoon over it, that is also kind of a no-no. You know, in our eyes. You know, we're not going to sit here and say that Roman Reigns is completely okay with everything he does and then Jerry Lawler gets, you know, kicked in the butt from us. No, you know. Even Roman Reigns, you know, I mean, he doesn't write his own lines, obviously, so that's an issue with creative, I'm sure. But, you know, yeah, him saying things like, hey, baby girl, baby doll, things like that. Yeah, but if you're still making him be the smooth talker, though, as he was on main event, he actually had, you know, I enjoyed him. He was entertaining. And he's really getting into that role. So,
yeah,
yeah,
doing
no
the
reason.
Thing where he just managed to just like, hey, you know, Renee, you're going to have to take off your high heels because, you know, things, if they get serious, you're going to have to run.
And
you
then
know,
Renee,
that kind of thing. And
being the amazing woman that she
off
is.
Off her heels.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Because
Renee is
great.
So good for this company. I really hope that ESPN doesn't take her.
And it's sad because with the way things, if things are looking, you know, to us, with the little things that we're seeing, if it's that much worse backstage, I'm worried. I'm worried that they will. I don't know. I'm worried, but hopefully they don't. But moving forward, Bo Dallas versus Titus. So, as we mentioned a bit earlier in the show, Titus jobbed to Adam Rose twice on SmackDown in a row, which is the saddest thing ever. However,
how's that singles push
however,
going, Titus?
However, it made a great Bo segment, so I'm okay with this completely.
Yeah,
there
were two things about this that I liked. One, Titus... you got back on that horse so you could fall off again. And after the match, just the whole pegging him with the microphone, and then,
yes.
Whoops, look at me, Mr. Butterfingers. I need more of that. Because the Bo Leave thing specifically is not a heel thing. An annoying, you know, optimistic person is not a heel thing. Knocking your opponent with the microphone like that, that was a heel move. And then playing it off, that was really heelish. And just subtle things like that. Where,
wait,
like,
I'm a bit confused. No, Titus slapped the microphone out of Bo's hand.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, oh, you said hitting your opponent with the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought you were trying to argue that he was... Oh, you mean getting the microphone thrown out of your... What necessarily about that is?
No, I thought I saw that Bo, like, kind of just, like, threw it more towards him.
No, 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 no. He was in front... From the way it looked, although I would like to see that, because, again, it looked as if he was in front of Titus's face, and Titus was like, screw you in your microphone. Because Titus was pissed that he was just standing there again, saying, it's okay, Titus, and then gets it smacked out of his hands. He goes up to get it, which because it flew away, and then as he picks it up, he says, "Deal," calls himself Butterfingers, and then the announce team is trying not to lose it.
Okay, well, that's still good. I thought he threw it towards him, and I thought that was a heel thing, you know, so I was really happy.
Mm-mm.
And I could be wrong.
Well, actually,
even if he did,
correct, yeah, try to give him the microphone, and then Titus slaps it away. The point being is that, you know, Bo is, oh, my God, Bo's great. But I would like to mention, though, the thing that really is upsetting me, though. Here's what is upsetting me. Here's the thing, though. We can't get heel things from Bo because they're putting him against heels. It's as if WWE likes to sabotage themselves.
Well, they're mixing it up. I mean, because they had him go against, was it Kofi?
No, but the problem is that they've had him gone against faces like Sin Cara, Kofi, Xavier
mm-hmm.
Woods, R-Truth. Wow, the entire jobber squad. But the problem here, yeah, pretty much. Hey, they can make another job squad, shall they? But the thing that really gets me kind of upset now is, again, I feel like they're trying to sabotage themselves. Where some, like, with the whole Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt thing, where it's just, let's throw him here and see what the fans are going to do, if they're really fans, right? Guys, you have something good. What the fuck are you trying to do? Same thing with Bo Dallas, where it's like, you know, it's like, oh, they're actually throwing him against faces, and he's getting some cheers, but he's actually starting to get some boos depending on the right crowd. Let's see if those boos are really boo. Like, what? What, Vince? What? Put him against
Titus. I would agree with you in terms of they don't know exactly what they're doing here, but...
I feel like that's the general consensus, and that's the problem, where it's as if they're trying to test the waters, but they forget that they're a live television show, where it's like, you know, you guys had time to test the waters. They called it NXT. Right now, there's nothing to test right now. You know, everything, it's like saying, all right, we need to see if this method's going to work, so let's put it into these groups to test it out, right? And you put them into test groups, obviously, that exists. And then after test groups, it's like, should we implement it? Yes. We'll implement it onto the world and test it onto the world. Wait, what? No. When it's out in the world, it's kind of out to be made. You can't just have people growing three heads and shit and call it a day.
Hmm?
No, that's what we'll do. Oh, okay. You know what I mean? Like, when you have a product or something, you know, when you put it in the test groups, you're testing it to make it perfect. You're not testing it to just eventually test it later on the masses, I would hope. Do you see what I'm trying to say?
NXT being, in a way, the minor leagues, but it is also your testing ground. And I know that it's weird because we want to argue that NXT isn't an accurate testing ground.
Mm-hmm.
I would agree. The full Sylvain. And in a way, I do, too. But it just sucks because you have to give some kind of... You have to make it seem valid. Like, you have to seem like some of the stuff you did in NXT matters. So a guy like Bo Dallas, because it works in NXT, you know that it could work, so you might as well go with exactly what worked. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. If it worked in NXT, apply it to WWE, and if that doesn't work... Then you make your adaptations. You don't just throw them up there and be like, all right, we're going to change you now. Like, that doesn't always work out.
No, because you could argue that who he was in NXT, while he did mention Bo leaving and everything, this kind of, I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't do some of this, you know, this talk, where, yeah, he did do some of this talk in NXT. Of course he did. I will admit that I haven't seen too much of him, but what I have seen, yes, he was kind of this, you know, this kind of guru. But at the same time, though, he wasn't really promoted as the guru in a way. And also,
yeah, like, now he's an annoying motivational speaker.
Exactly.
In NXT, he did heel things. Like, he used exposed turnbuckles and stuff like that. And
yeah,
subtle things in his promo, you know, he was given more full-length promos. And I know you don't always have that luxury in WWE, but it's like, at some point, if you want this character to matter, you have to give him the time or the effort. You know, and,
yeah,
and I want Bo to matter a lot because he's good. We know that he's good. He has a track record in NXT. He has a track record from his freaking family because, you know, the Rotunda
yeah,
family.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, his brother and his father both look pretty impressive. So
yeah, and that's the thing where it's just, you know, it's just, it's upsetting where it's just, you know, Adam Rose, thankfully, didn't change too much. I mean, people turned on him, but we haven't. We're fans of Adam Rose, so they didn't change.
I hate that has happened, by the way, because that is completely a booking thing.
Yeah, but I would like to say that, you know, and again, like, you know, you look at Adam Rose. I mean, then again, I mentioned this before. They screwed Adam Rose because they put him against the guy who gets cheers regardless of being a face or a heel. So good job there, guys. But now with Bo Dallas, it's like we've mentioned. They change him little bits here and there, and then they give him little heel things, which are great, by the way. Like him, you know, going, you know, turning on Fandango in a way that he shouldn't have, where he basically does the Bo Dog at a point where he really shouldn't. But then at the same time, Fandango is a heel. Are you making Fandango a face? You're clearly not, because you're putting him against other, you know, face people, or at least it looks like you are, and you're having him do heel things where it's just like, all right, he's basically kissing Summer Rae right now, which is great, by the way. It's really funny that he's getting into it with Summer Rae, where it's like, Layla's right there, right? But, so that, again, so he's not a full face. You're not turning people. So then what are you doing with this guy? And that's the problem, where I really, like I said, I really feel as if they're trying to just test it, where you don't test it now. Again, they're wondering, why aren't people tuning into our product? You know, it's like, if you make people, I mean, I'm not saying that you need heels or faces. I've even heard that they want to kind of shift away from it. But then shift away from it completely. Don't just say things like, John Cena does everything right, you know, is perfect for the kids, except when he's not. Actually, don't follow what he does, actually, children. That's bad.
Right.
But anyway, moving forward, just, oh, my God, I love Bo. Just too much to talk about. But, yeah, moving forward to Triple H Money in the Bank announcement, the people that he named, doesn't it make a more interesting, you know, Money in the Bank contract match than it does WWE World Heavyweight match?
It almost seems that way.
And it's kind of great, actually, because, I mean, yes, we know that it's really just a toss-up between Rollins and Ambrose, but still, it's just, you know, being entertaining. We have Kofi, we have Ziggler, we have RVD. I mean, yeah, we have, you know, B&B and Swagger, and I pray to God Swagger doesn't injure anyone, but still, we have a lot of high flyers in this match when we literally have none. In the WWE World Heavyweight title match, we have none.
Yeah, that was a weird thing. I mean, we should have some more interesting spots in this match. And, you know, from tonight, I know that you didn't really get to see it, but on Main Event, Dolph got a very serious tone promo that was basically not a heel thing.
Right.
But it was like, look, I've been here. I know what winning the Money in the Bank can do for a man. I know. I was there. You know, it was probably the greatest moment ever for me. And, you know, I know about the fall from that, too. And I know about all that. And I want to claim what's rightfully mine again for you guys. And it was this nice step away from Dolph's the show off. I show off because I can, you know, to
right.
I really want the championship again because this is what I live for. And I want to do it for you guys and me. And it was good, you know, where, and he did it on top of the ladder, by the way, to open up the event, which was really nice.
I wish something then. That would, it's up, because I'm upset because they give them these talks and everything, but it doesn't matter. They're still going to lose, and it's upsetting because, of course, they're going to lose. But it's just, you know, I hope this does mean something for Ziggler, you know, something more in the long run. Not even the money
to win again, it would be amazing because the crowd would go nuts. I mean,
it would be smart of them.
Because, yeah, people complain and say, you know, it's not going to happen, Satish. Why are you so behind Ziggler? Because I'm not the only one behind Ziggler. You know, he has a ridiculous fan base, and he's over in a lot of places. And even in places he's not over, I just think they haven't seen enough of him yet because he's just really good at what he does. And
yeah.
It bothers me because you look at a guy like Rusev, who is infinitely less talented than Dolph Ziggler, less personality, needs a valet. You know, it's just everything about him presents to me as a worse package than Dolph Ziggler. And he's gotten more of a push than Dolph has ever gotten, if only for the fact that he's a big guy.
Yeah. I mean, well, he hasn't gotten too much yet. I mean, sadly, you know, and I say sadly because I think Rusev, with this push that they're giving him, should be a bit higher on the card right now. But for some reason, he's tolling in the lower mid card, in my opinion. But anyway, but yeah, hopefully Ziggler does get something from this. I mean, I would feel weird because, you know, you have people like Rollins and Ambrose in there. But what would be smart of them is if Ambrose really does hinder Rollins. And they use this as a way to build up a guy who... Even if it's not Ziggler, even if it's Kofi, as silly as it sounds, just someone who wouldn't have normally gotten this shot in the first place. Because I think that's what the WWE needs more of, because sadly, we're not getting that nowadays. You know, we're getting, you know, the Royal Rumble winner is, you know, The Rock. And it's like, so The Rock wouldn't have gotten a shot of just, I mean, obviously not, but little things like that, where it's just, you know, it's like, so who's going to win the Money in the Bank? And I've even said it, Money in the Bank, who's going to win the Royal Rumble? I've said this before, where it's like, oh, it should be, let's say, a guy like Fandango, you know, where even if he doesn't win, he still gets that shot. He gets his moment. It's like, so will it be that guy like Fandango or, you know, someone like Bo Dallas or something? No. It'll be John Cena. It'll be Batista. It'll be someone who obvious. It'll be Triple H for some reason again.
Yeah,
you know, it'll be Randy
to
Orton.
Book these guys correctly, and I mean not only in their personal bookings, but
right.
in usage of things like Survivor Series elimination matches, in Royal Rumbles, in Money in the Banks, and the only instance in which I can give them credit for recently, in that regard, is the fact that they let Roman Reigns go kind of crazy in the Royal Rumble. Because,
yes.
you know, he got to break Kane's record and stuff. Yeah, that makes sense, and that was really cool. But see, the problem was, then you faded him right back into the Shield. And while that was cool for the Shield, it would have made a lot more sense for Roman Reigns' push if this Royal Rumble was the one where he broke the records.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So in
yes.
that one, you blew your freaking load too soon. And it's just,
yeah.
like, you were so happy to do it, and then you backed off. So you have to improve what you're thinking here. Think long-term. Don't think pay-per-view to pay-per-view.
Oh, let's not even get started on that. They, in my opinion, they are still not thinking long-term at all. And they haven't been doing it for years. And you can tell when you know, hey, go back on the network. Look at Raws and SmackDowns from 2012 to right now and scratch your head thinking, how did that happen? When pointing to, like, individual superstars' careers. Just, huh, how did that happen? Because they weren't thinking long-term. They really need, and maybe they are. Hey, maybe they are and we don't know. But they clearly aren't doing it well enough. And I'm sorry, I know we're not in the business, but you guys really need to make a timetable. Imagine it like a police, you know, when you're investigating a crime, like a murder. Just make webs where it's like, okay, this guy is fighting this guy, and then who's also been with this guy, and okay, so then this guy should be, all right, so then this guy would, okay, let's do that. Because guess what, guys? You're running a company. You say that you want us to, you know, really watch and get involved, and guess what? I wasn't able to watch Raw this week, and it didn't make me think, oh, my God, no. Imagine how many other people are doing that who aren't doing podcasts. That's a huge deal. You know, they need to just make these webs and to really think, okay, so this win will really matter. Oh, wait, this win will matter even more. Damn, then what can we do? Well, and I do think they do it, again, a little bit here and there, where they might think, oh, even though Dolph lost to, you know, Barrett, it was in no way a burial, right? So they'll think like that. But in no way will they think, so how will this affect Dolph Ziggler in the future? Because I think if they've said that, people will laugh in, you know, in the room with them because they just won't care. Because it's the future. Who cares about the future?
By the way, I'd like to admit to everybody that I've relegated to playing Grand Theft Auto Vice City, not because I'm bored with our podcast, but because of the content of our podcast tonight has made me pretty angry. And one of my ways of relaxation is, like, you know, Grand Theft Auto Vice City.
It's okay.
And
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. Speaking of,
I just
of
shot
drugs.
An old person.
Speaking of drugs, RVD, you know, I think that, I think that Triple H's RVD joke was great, and while I enjoyed it, here's why I enjoyed it, because he is there to put people over, but all of the other superstars in that Money in the Bank contract match needed the rub of not being the butt of the joke more.
Yeah.
So
and
if Triple H
RVD understands his role at this point. Like, he knows
exactly.
He's not going back to be the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. That being said,
no,
his little exchange with Rollins was fun. Because Rollins, you know, taking the shot, basically saying, like, hey, I'd take you seriously if this was 2005.
No,
and RVD's like,
it's great because he said even more. He was like, oh, yeah, I'm taking you. He's like, I take you seriously. Hell, I would even take you more seriously if it was 2005. And it's great because you were there. We were there in 2005. He was on fire.
Exactly. And then his little comeback of like, oh, is that when you were asking to stay up late so you could watch me when you wanted to be a wrestler? Like, that was great because it was just a, you're old. Well, you're really young. Damn.
Exactly. It's true. How old is Rollins again? He's in his mid-20s?
Well, Seth Rollins, I think off the top of my head, is not that old. He's like, oh, frick. He's born in the same year as John Neese, the pitcher for the Mets. I only know this because they were born in 1986. So 86 to now is like, what, 28?
I only ask because, you know, 9 years ago, it would be upsetting if he wasn't that old. I mean, if he wasn't that young, rather. But still, I mean, I'm only bringing it up because, you know, Debbie, it's still funny. It's just,
Maddie confirms Seth is 28. So,
he's booked as 28. How old is he really?
I mean, we make this joke because of build height.
Right.
Because, you know.
Yeah. Kevin Hart is 5'4", and everyone laughed.
That is such bullshit. But, Rollins is 28, so that means a couple, he was like, what, 9? 19, I mean? I'm sorry, 9 years ago he was 19.
19, yes.
So
yes,
he was younger.
He was 9
than us.
In 2005.
He was sitting there podcasting about wrestling.
Yeah. But seriously, what I do enjoy, though, by the way, is so we had Seth Rollins jokes, you know, we had everyone joke on RVD. But in my opinion, he got his revenge for those jokes, you know, tenfold. I personally think that he's great at promos now, but he needs to be ripping on others, clearly. Because when he has his face rants, they're not face rants, they're high face rants. And that's just all they are.
It was funny because listening to RVD,
right?
I was mocking him to Maddie because I was like, Rob is high. This isn't a promo. This is him just talking. We're just like,
but
dude.
But here's the
thing.
No.
Bro?
Actually, that's the thing. No, that's the thing. Yeah, I will admit, when I heard him say dude, I laughed. But here's the thing, though. If this was him high, this is him better. This is him being high better than he's been high lately. Because lately when he's high, it's just really bad. Where it's just, so how do you think you're going to do against so-and-so tonight? Tonight, I think that I'm just going to beat him up because, you know, I'm Rob Van Dam. And then Paul Heyman comes
out.
Well,
yeah, that doesn't work. Like,
no,
high Van Dam is what works, where it's just like, man, you remember when I crushed his trachea, man, dude? What?
Here's the thing. So when he said, I pissed myself because I was like, this, like you said, this, it just feels real, and it feels like that when he's cutting other people down. Because that's the thing. He hasn't cut other people down, really, during his face rants, unless it's Paul Heyman, but, again, that comes from the heart, so that doesn't really seem off. See what I mean?
That's great, man.
That's him. No, but the thing is, that's him when he's talking about, like, Bad News Barrett. That's my problem. Honestly, in this promo, I really loved him. All jokes aside, I mean it. Where it felt as if he was just, like you said, he was just high talking, but it didn't feel forced. It didn't feel lame. It didn't feel slow. It
of
felt
course
like he was
it
like,
doesn't feel forced. RVD is naturally high all the time.
He doesn't even smoke marijuana anymore. He just wakes up and just, it's part of him.
Yeah.
It's funny
and you know what? As someone who's a very liberal-thinking person, I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No. Also, by the way, how much does Matt do drugs? My first thought was, he just wakes up and TLC is in his system. It's THC, Matt, you stupid asshole. But no, he wakes up with TLC in his system. He's perfect at TLC matches. Money in the Bank is going to be great for Rob Van Dam.
If I remember correctly,
I hate myself.
TLC was a very popular pop band back in the day.
What you talking about, Scrub? I don't know their songs. I don't know their music.
They were a girl group.
Yes, they were actually a very nice group. They really were.
Yeah.
But
I thought you woke up and you just were hearing, like, you know, TLC.
Don't go chasing waterfalls, Satish. But anyway, an RVD versus Seth Rollins was also a great match. You know, I mean, I wasn't excited about it at first, but when it started picking up, you know, and then, of course, we had Ambrose come in, I was a very happy man. So that wasn't so bad. It really
the
was.
The curb stomp looked really good.
Oh,
I will say that much.
Yes.
You know, so that was sold well. But, yeah, it was fun, if only because of Ambrose coming in after and then cutting one of my favorite mini promos in the world, if only because of the Spike microphone. Spikes it into the ground, picks it up, if only to spout more promo. Like, it was just so beautiful because they're letting him be him. And this is one of the times where I tell, you know, it ain't broke, don't fix it. John Moxley
exactly.
was not broken. John Moxley was
no.
a god-esque character. He was so damn good. It ain't broke, don't fix it. Let him be John Moxley, you will be successful. And I think they've realized that. Because he's become even more polished.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and you know, it's a good thing they let him in that match because he was going to freaking steal the briefcase and pawn it.
Yeah, apparently, according to Dean Ambrose, and you know, during their Raw Fallout, which they release every single you know time they have Raw on USA Network, on the WWE Network, they have Raw Fallout. Yeah, apparently, Dean Ambrose said, I'm so off my game right now because of what he said. He said, good thing they let me into the Money in the Bank ladder match because I was going to be in Boston either way, and I was going to steal the briefcase and probably pawn it off somewhere in some little shop. I love this, man.
Yep.
He's just so good at what he does.
He's going to Money in the Bank to fight that trainer Rollins who's going to get his shit. But, you know, he's going to Money in the Bank, and that's really good and nice. And I'm proud of him.
And before we move on, I would like to I would like to mention that just a little Vicky thing. So we mentioned Vicky before, and we mentioned how, you know, Vicky was just, you know, she wrestled and everything. What I really love... She's not, you know, I'm not a competitor. She just has tights, just around.
Yep.
It wasn't even just normal black tights, just nope, just Vicky. Really? Just okay.
You
I mean,
know who supplied those, Matt?
Who did?
John Cena. Because he cared. He legitimately cared, being the hero that he is.
Yeah,
he was all up in this angle, supporting someone against the authority, the same people
he
that he hated.
Yep, completely.
Wait,
thank you, John
I'm not
Cena.
Getting this right, am I?
No, you are, actually. He was in there.
Oh, John was there.
John was there, being the top face. Yes,
okay.
He was. Yeah, and if he wasn't, I will Photoshop him in there, not looking at Paige's butt. Or possibly looking at Paige's butt.
Can we Photoshop him looking at Paige's butt so I have incriminating evidence against him and I can get him fired? I would like that.
I think we should. I think we're going to, yes. Also,
can
we
Photoshop
look at
me looking at Paige's butt? Because that would be realistic. That can be my profile picture for the podcast.
Hey, we could put your head on Jerry's perfectly. He's wearing your shirt.
He is wearing my type of clothing.
Yeah, but Seth Rollins, Triple H, you know, that little segment, it was great, and then it was kind of funny. I didn't know about the Kane thing yet. You know, obviously I was doing this in real time. So I thought, I just hope no one else gets added to this match. And yet they have to add the Demon Kane, of all people.
Not Kane, the Demon Kane. Very good.
No, yeah, not Kane, the Demon Kane, of all people. And then not just that, but we have Santino in his suit. I mean, just the entire night was just, you know, everything was topsy-turvy. I don't know if you noticed Santino in his suit, but Vicky Guerrero was walking by, you know, everyone. We see Xavier Woods dressing nicely. We see Emma in a lovely dress. We see Santino in his suit. And then we have Randy Orton coming up, you know, after Renee's talking to her.
Why is Emma in a lovely dress with Santino just in a suit? Here's the thing.
Why does
he not get a qualifier? That's sexist.
Because, no, you know what? You want to know why he doesn't get a qualifier? Because her dress did look nice on her. That suit was very ill-fitting and did not, it was, I had to call it a suit because it was just, oh, God. Like, I didn't want to make Santino
feel bad. When did you become
bad.
The judgment of fitting, huh? When did you get to decide what fits and what doesn't?
I feel as if you're talking to me as if it's like, who lives and who dies? I don't know, man.
When did you get to play God, Matt? When did you? What?
WWE is currently playing God, actually. WWE, no, I have no idea where this is going. But WWE, you know, sadly we're going to have to move forward quickly. But WWE actually reinstated, although it's always been there, but has been pushing their policy on how
dress
these superstars should be dressed. Yes, dress codes, thank you, should be dressing. And it's interesting because we hear that rumor, and then when we see them on Raw, they're actually dressing nicely backstage, and it's very interesting because I don't know what they're trying to do for that. I don't know in what way they're trying to push it because there's no specifics in how if they want it to be backstage or if they want it to be from event to event. You know, I don't know what they're doing now with it currently, but I've heard that some of the divas, because of their abuse of it, that's why they're re-implementing it, or at least pushing it again, which is interesting. Because,
I hate dress codes, man. I'm being honest with you. This is not me in character.
Oh,
this
I agree
is not
completely.
Me joking around. I hate dress codes. I grew up hating them. I hated the idea of professional dress. I hate the idea that me in a suit means I look nicer than me in a T-shirt. And while
I
may or may not be true, you know, I hate that that means for job interviews and for stuff like that, I have to dress the way you want me to dress. And not you specifically, because
I know you're not
in my head telling me.
I agree completely. I might be. What I say is this much, though. I think Xavier Woods was the perfect balance because he had a nice button-up, you know, button-down shirt, but in no way was it Santino's suit, where I was really confused. I thought, I was like, Santino, look at Xavier Woods. That's how you could dress. What are you doing? But I will admit, though, if they want them to be in suits and if Xavier Woods in any way gets fined for this, that would anger me. Because Xavier Woods looked perfect. Go back and look at him. He looked great in what he was wearing because it looked as if it was, I'm business casual, but in no way do I, you know, does it look like as I'm really trying here, you know, am I going to be uncomfortable, let's say.
Right.
But also I was worried that Randy Orton was going to kiss Vicky because WWE. Thank goodness that didn't happen.
I
was just worried because WWE. And Swagger versus Kofi. We're here because Zeb's sign said the best defense is offense. We need Rusev versus Swagger, please. I hope it's teased at the pay-per-view, please. Somehow,
I hope it happens.
Please.
I could get behind a racist face. No, I can't. But I could get behind Jack Swagger against Rusev because Jack Swagger and Zeb Coulter are infinitely more interesting to me than Lana because Rusev's just, like, if Lana's like a 6 or 7 on the interesting scale, Rusev's like a -2.
Exactly.
So, you know, combined, they're really not doing that well.
No. Also, the end of the match, jumping back to the match, Swagger versus Kofi. Swagger, you know, he got the win. He looked bloodied up, which made him look very tough because he needed that after Adam Rose. Nothing bad about Adam Rose, but they haven't really – when he was fighting Swagger, they didn't really book Rose to look so strong, you know, as strong as he should be. So to us, it looked like a pansy boy, sad. I hate to use that word, but again, WWE is probably what they're, you know, pushing.
Thinking,
that,
yes.
Yeah. They made Swagger look quote-unquote weak. So he got this win against Kofi, which was great. He got someone to tap. But again, as I always mention, they really need to put more emphasis, even though it was a quick match, still, just have him kick Kofi's leg more or something. It just looks very weird. Like, no matter what, you know, in the games, and the games should be a reflection because, I mean, you're basing them off of your, you know, your real-life wrestling matches. You shouldn't be able, you know, if in the game you put on the ankle lock, they're not going to tap out immediately. You need to work on the body parts. You've mentioned it to me before because you've been an asshole. We've been playing, you know, WWE 13, and you screamed at me, limb by fucking limb, as you're destroying my limbs in the game.
That's how I should be beating you because...
Yeah, exactly.
If I want to make you tap out to an arm submission, I need to hurt your arm.
Yeah, you're not just going to put on the cross arm breaker and call it a day. I mean, that person has very weak, childlike arm.
In real life.
You know, yeah. You know, and as we move forward, I don't know if you noticed this. There was a picture promoting the Divas match, you know, that's going to be at the pay-per-view. And it was Paige versus Naomi.
Right.
Did you notice a problem with this picture?
I didn't get to see it long enough. I know the picture you're talking about, but no.
They did not edit out Cameron.
No, they didn't. She was in the background.
Why would she be... During the entire... match. I mean, as much as we said that she was terrible, and we said all that honey stuff and everything. Yeah, she was clearly anti Naomi. She's breaking away from Naomi.
They came out together, so they're not broken up yet.
Fair enough. I think it's just.
So
well, then how about this?
Probably the culmination of their breakup.
I guess, but she's smiling in the background. It's one of those things where it's just. Can you just take her out of the picture? Yeah. Can you just please take her out of the picture, looking all happy and shit, like she's part of the Funkadactyls? Please, can we just do that? Thank you. And then the ADR Cesaro interview, I'm happy they're letting ADR talk because he is good on the mic. And then, of course, I love Paul Heyman because immediately he's able to just counteract ADR, and it's great because it's just, you are one, and you know one this, one that. It's great. You know, I love Paul Heyman and his wordplay. And then Cesaro's great because he says, you know, he's like, I would speak to you, Del Rio, but I only speak 5 languages, and none of them are loser.
That was
a
really good line. I thought that
because
was
I was
fun.
Worried. because I think it's because of him, his time with the real Americans for so long, but I thought they were going to go the racist route and say Spanish or Mexican.
Yeah, like if he were to say none of them are Spanish or Mexican, that would have bothered me. Because obviously Del Rio speaks English. But when you say loser, I'm like, oh, that was kind of slick. Good job.
Yeah. And then, and I really hate to say this, and then for some reason we had Big E, I think, promote and fight for racism. I wasn't really sure what happened.
That was weird. Because he beat up Abraham Lincoln, who came back from the dead. And that was
another night in Ford's Theater, by the way.
Because seriously, Langston, show some, that was a great line, but show some respect. That man freed your kind from slavery. But on top of
freed your people.
Yeah. Well, our kind, yes, you're right.
Yeah.
But
I kid. But no, but seriously,
I mean, all jokes aside.
You don't think they're people. No, but yeah, it's true.
That was a weird promo from Big E. Like, I honestly sat there, I'm like, wait, what? Like, I didn't know what to think.
Because
he was hamming it up with his voice.
Oh, here's the thing. That's the thing, where it's just a weird thing, where it's just, at first, Big E came up, and he reinstated slavery. And then, after that, right, after that, he became a black preacher. And
that's
I got so
because I got 110% black preacher.
Yeah.
And I was confused because I'm like, is that what he's supposed to do?
No, that's the thing. If Big E said, this is what I want to do because this is what I was born with, I think that's something he needs to tweet about or interview with immediately, because if he says that, I'll go, okay, good for you. That's probably something that I would do, you know, let's say if I were to, like, play up the Hispanicness because I've, you know, I'm Hispanic. My family is Hispanic, so if I were to play up a few words here and there, or do some things like, let's say, like Eddie would back in the day. Like, yeah, I mean, I am Hispanic. I mean, that's not all I am, but if they were to say to me, hey, you know, like if I were to play that up, some little things here and there from my childhood, I can do that because that's so. If that's what he's doing, okay. But it just worries me because again, it's another kind of thing where it's just like, all right, guys, like, you know, your company, you know, you don't need African-American people coming out and doing this regardless of if it's part of their, you know, their youth or not. Because, again, maybe this is what Big E has grown up with. Maybe Big E said, you know what, I can do something like this. The problem is that someone in the back thought he really should. It would be freaking hilarious.
Like, I don't know. Like, if Big E had a black preacher gimmick, I don't think I'd be that upset because he'd obviously be good at it. I just feel like this is leading to him losing again.
And
that would really suck. Because
the
gimmick doesn't bother me because I think black preacher would be, I mean, why not? Because they've done worse, you know?
Here's the thing. It's the thing where I would want him to be debuted as a black preacher because they've had people like Brother Love. I just don't want there to be... I don't want him to transition because there's no reason for him to transition to Black Preacher, where it's kind of like a Viscera Big Daddy V thing where I wasn't a big fan of that those transitions either, where there doesn't need to be, you know, and also it's also weird because he beat up Abe Lincoln and then started giving a speech that was
the
like,
whole
oh, here's what we have
really,
to do. It was like,
really
what?
Weird.
And
all I'm getting is that Big E's probably going to fight Rusev at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, and lose, and also the fact that it's just, it was very interesting because, you know, he's in there, he loses, and when Rusev came out, I sat there and I thought, wait, is Rusev the face? I didn't know who's the face and who, because it's like, you've had Damien Sandow come out, and yes, he's been heels, and yes, he was healing it up tonight as Abe Lincoln, so fair enough. But it's just, I don't know, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, you should have had, I think, Big E just say, you know, that man was an imposter. Something silly like that, where it's just like, you know, like that's, you know, just, because if Big E had said, you know, that is completely, you know, destroying what it is to be a patriot or something like that, right? Maybe. But Big E didn't say that. Big E just kind of came out and became a black preacher. And then, you know, and hammed it up. And although I will say the best part of that segment, I think, other than Lana kind of doing her little thing for like a line, the best part of that segment, I feel, was when Big E said, excuse me, Tom. Like, as if he was just, like, he didn't even say it angry. He was just like, he was like, serious. You know, he's like, you know, he's like, you know, it's like, so Big E, we're here with your win. He's like, excuse me, Tom. And then just kind of just like, and then take, that was kind of funny. I love it. Like, little things about Big E are funny, but I really didn't find this funny funny. I just felt, like you said, weird, and I didn't know how to take it, and I don't know if it's racist or not, and that's a huge problem because
that's
if it is leaning on racism,
Biggie has charisma no matter what you have him do. So
yeah.
Please let him do something that actually helps him. That's all I got.
Exactly. And of course, you know, quickly, the handicap match meant nothing to me. It already happened on SmackDown. It was it's not as if it was a bad match. They've done some really, you know, most of the wrestling on the card is good. It's not even the wrestling
and
is bad. It's the storyline. Yeah, that was a huge issue for me. Because I feel that, because as we've mentioned before, when they put a lot of guys in a match, I just feel as if they randomize the winners.
Yeah, like it didn't make any sense either way, like, for Sheamus to win. But I just feel like they didn't care because they were going to do their eventual, hey, the pay-per-view's in 6 days. Let's do our big Smalls finish with everybody having a finisher fest. That's what happens.
Exactly. And that's how it felt as if, you know, felt like that way with, you know, and also that happens in a lot of battle royals where, and it sucks because, again, they just assume, oh, no one cares who gets thrown out. We really do. We care about who gets thrown out and by who because when they're not in battle royals, you know, they some of these guys really don't like each other. So
yeah, and there could
be better,
stories
yeah.
there, either in the Battle Royale going into it or made from it.
Yes. And it feels as if they don't care, where it's just, you know, oh, we made that Battle Royale with, you know, where Roman Reigns was going to come in. So that means that everyone else is completely irrelevant. And that's a huge problem. You know, because, again, it feels as if everyone else is randomized, where maybe the superstars going into it say, hey, so you can throw me out, you can throw me out. But I feel as if the bookers couldn't care less.
Nope.
But anyway, moving forward, you know, I mean, you would think that we're at the end of tonight with Kane and everything, but no, we have a few more things to touch on, nothing major, just a few little things here and there. I assume you saw Bo Dallas on Main Event, because we referenced him slightly, but I would like to mention something that he said. Okay, here's the thing, ready? And this is why Bo Dallas seems to be pushed as more of a heel, right? You know, first off, before I even mention this, I'm so happy that he's 10-0, just saying. I mean,
yes. 10-0.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, when Bo Dallas said, he's like, women, they sure are mysterious creatures, but they'll figure it out. They just have to believe. See, here's the thing, right? You're going to ask me, well, why are you going to laugh at him doing it and not, you know, and Jerry Lawler? Because Bo Dallas, that's why I'm saying he should be more of a heel. They should really push him more as a heel because that's something that, while getting laughs, yes, because of how he's saying it, you should also be like, wow, that guy's a fuck, you know? Like, I don't like that guy. You know what I mean? Where it's an issue, where it's just now are you trying to see, like, oh, they laughed at that. That's a face thing. Bo should always be sexist. You know what I mean? Like, they really need to see what they're doing here. I mean, hell, this is the Main Event is the same show that, you know, tonight, where they did that, where he was just like, you know, he's like, women, right? On the same show where they had Ryback, who is also a heel, so again, has the leeway of saying certain things, called, you know, both Goldust and Stardust hermaphrodites, which is like, whoa, I'm offended and I'm not even a hermaphrodite. Like, whoa. Like, but again, heel. So, okay.
That being said,
quote, unquote,
in terms of sexist things, by the way, earlier,
right?
I mentioned a little lesbian thing, and Maddie was like, Tish, fucking crazy, that didn't happen. She's like, oh, it happened with Tori and Sable, and you said the wrong Tori on air. I need to make this clear. I said Tori Wilson on purpose. It was Tori Wilson. So suck it, Maddie. I love you. But it was actually
okay, cool.
Tori Wilson and Dawn Marie, because
right.
Dawn Marie had married Tori Wilson's father on air to get to Tori, because Tori was the one that she really wanted. But it was a serious
You can
story.
Find that on the network, everyone. You just have to believe that they'll put
you
it on.
You probably could, because, and it was like a lesbian softcore scene where the two of them stripped down. It's on YouTube if it's not on the WWE network by now.
But anyway, that happened. Let's try to move away from that, I feel.
It's been like 10 years.
That happened. Yeah.
For like 10 years, and we're still pushing women into shit. There's a huge problem there.
Let's quote Fandango, shall we? And maybe make it all better. You are the only one who has danced their way into my heart, and you know that.
I was hoping you were going to make it completely like it make no sense. It was like, let's quote Fandango. You have to let the A's breathe.
Yeah.
That's nothing to do with anything.
I know that we have to make this quick, but I still want to complain as much as we can. Ryback versus Truth and Consequences, better known as R-Truth and Xavier Woods. what gets me about that, and we talked about this, so as many of you, as some of you may know, Fernando of Los Matadores is currently injured, right, which is only huge for me, really, because of the fact that I won't be able to see him July 12th. I'm really sad about that, because he's going to be injured for a month.
Fernando.
Yeah, please do, because I won't be able to see you, and that makes me sad, because I actually do like you guys. But, because if I don't see one of you, I'm probably not going to see the other, and that really makes me sad. But, here's my issue, really. You know, WWE, they break up these tag teams back and forth. They didn't break up, you know, R-Truth and Xavier Woods, but they haven't had them on TV together for so long that they might as well have been broken up.
And somehow they're together again.
Because one tag team gets injured, they break up the Shield. Of course, we know about everyone else that they've broken up in the last, you know, 6 months. So they start to realize, oh, that's right. We don't have a division anymore. We just have four guys in a room punching each other. It's gotten to that point where it's just, so, you know, what are we doing here? And that's the problem, where they really need to just focus on their division. And that's why I said in the rumor mill, which I sounded like a cold-hearted monster, but I'll say it again. People need to get injured more, because they really need to snap back into reality and see that they can't just skate by with what they're doing. They really need to put some work into this. You know, they have so many people that they could literally make this entire card be, you know, eight-man tags or even women tags, you know, for two matches and still have more people. For like a kickoff or for, you know, other dark matches.
I just think you need to be specific, because you just got quoted saying people need to get injured more.
Yeah, right.
Like,
I know. Again,
that's your
terrible
quote of the night.
Sounds,
and I just
no,
need
no, again,
you
that
to
sounds
understand.
Terrible. I've met again.
That
I mentioned
was
on the
your
rumor
quote,
mill.
Word for
no,
word.
I need to mention this. I mentioned this on the rumor mill. I should again mention it again. They need to get injured more. If only, again, nothing major, because you look at someone like, you know, Fernando, who got injured. Look at like Tyler Breeze. It's like a finger or a hand. Nothing needs to be chopped off, right? So everything's no. We don't need Daniel Bryan stuff, mind you. That's some scary, you know, shit right there. I don't want Daniel Bryan injuries. What I mean by that is little things that make them actually. Because the problem is that, you know, I know it sounds really weird. I really sound as if I'm a terrible person. Everyone's healthy, and they think they can do whatever the hell they want because they have this plethora of superstars. So, oh, that's too bad. We only have two tag teams, you know? Oh, we have another two tag teams, but they're just off somewhere else. Whatever, you know? We don't need actual competition for these Uso guys. They have the tag team titles, so it doesn't matter. They have the titles. Why do they need competition? And that's the issue, where it feels as if they keep on doing this. And then, you know, and then if someone gets injured, they kind of write it off. But the problem is that, you know, you look at the tag team division. If we, like, if Curtis Axel, like, hurt his charisma any more than he already has and gets injured because of it, like, maybe he trips over, like, a banana peel or something, and it's not funny, it's just sad, and, you know, he's out. You have another tag team out or something. That's really bad.
I like that Curtis Axel doesn't injure any physical part of him, but he injures his charisma.
Yeah, as if he could injure it anymore. We
that's
love
what
you.
I'm saying. Like, he has yeah. to have some charisma to injure it.
Yes, that's true.
Like,
that is
true. That's really not fair. That's like taking a low blow at him, honestly, I feel. But,
I'm
no,
sorry,
I mean,
Curtis Axel. But also,
right. they're
also
in a place
by the way,
where,
yeah.
go ahead.
No, you know, you were saying something.
Where they're running these same guys out there over and over and over and over. And in some cases, it makes sense with your top players. But without a brand split, you have the freedom to mix this up. And you're choosing not to.
And by the way, we need a brand split.
It just bothers me so much.
Yeah,
it bothers me almost as much as Curtis Axel tripping over a banana peel. Because...
Yeah.
Don't give the guy hope for humor. Like, don't give us 20
no.
seconds of thinking, wow, this guy could be Santino, and then you realize he's terrible at everything.
No, that's why I think we talk about this. They need Ryback to talk completely. I mean, come on. He just dubbed Curtis Axel the Axel.
Axel is living proof that sometimes bloodlines just don't transfer over success.
No, because I mean, I'm not saying we're not saying he's bad in the ring. It's just that, you know, as a speaker, he really doesn't need to speak unless maybe he's cutting someone else down. Maybe, but if they're trying to make him attempt at humor, that's a huge issue because whenever he tries to make humor, there's like a black hole that is made and it sucks up the entire universe. Currently, we are living in a black hole of Curtis Axel's humor. I believe that. And on that note, we should probably go. But I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And please remember that if you're ever scared of Kane coming to the ring, look to see if his pyrotechnics are on the turnbuckle, Roman Reigns. Have fun with that, Roman. I'm being honest. Roman Reigns was scared that, you know, Kane was coming to main event. Well, look at the turnbuckle. His pyro's right there. Look at it. Also, I love that, you know, Triple H is saying, you're going to fight Kane on SmackDown. The crowd, woo, it's going to happen now, basically. It's going to happen in an hour. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, at main event, they were happy with, well, after
they got
main event,
their
hopes they were happy with, yeah. Haha, yeah. So thank you guys for listening to those guys. I am Matt Marrero, and you are Satish Ram, I assume. You're still Satish Ram, right?
I'm Bo Dallas.
Did your name change? He's Bo Dallas. Believe. And
yay.
Please, play us out with some music. Yeah.
All right.
And of
Viva
course,
La
thank
Podcast.
You guys for listening. Yeah, Viva La Podcast. Thank you guys for listening. Yes.
Viva La Raza! Amigo, siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy latino. And I'm something that's up part of your blood, huh? I lie, I steal. I don't care if you don't like me, everybody wants to fight me. Do you feel it? Hey, oye lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet. Hay nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you, yo, latino heat. Coming from the streets of the ghetto, at the end of the week, I get to keep your dinero. Your back is deep when I sneak in your casa. Your life sucks cause you're bankrupt and I'm laughing. Can't trust me, Anfe, cause I'm Latin. I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Do you feel it?
I lie, I cheat, I steal. Yeah, say hello to Eddie.
Yo,
too many try to tell me what I already know.
Yo,
can you feel the heat?
Yeah,
say hello.
Yo,
yeah. Viva la raza. Wanna be Latino? If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
I lie, I cheat, I steal. I lie, I cheat, I steal.
Yo, mamacita, I got that passion of class and long look for heaven. Fall in love with that Latin charm. One woman isn't enough, amigo. Siempre cogiendo más mujeres porque soy Latino. And I'm something and some part of your blood, huh?
I lie, I cheat, I steal.
I don't care if you don't like me, everybody wants to fight me. Do you feel it?
Hey,
oye lo claro, I ain't the one you wanna meet. Hay nada más caliente, I'm too hot for you,
yo.